Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose, so you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, or player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet just $5. It's the only betting app I use. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In-app only.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. After six seasons and two playoff appearances, the Cleveland Browns fired two-time NFL Head Coach of the Year, Kevin Stefanski. He leaves with a 46-58 record and two straight wins over the Steelers and Bengals. General Manager Andrew Berry will remain in Cleveland and lead the search for the next head coach. Berry will address the media today at 12:30. In Cincinnati, Bengals will retain head coach Zach Taylor and director of player personnel Duke Tobin next season. And in Vegas, the Raiders fired head coach Pete Carroll. General Manager John Spytek, in close collaboration with minority owner Tom Brady, will lead the search for the next head coach. In soccer, Celtics sacked former Crew head coach Wilfried Nancy after eight matches. 33 days ago, Nancy left the Crew to join the club. In college hoops tonight, Ohio State hosts number 13 Nebraska at 6:30. Coverage of the Fan starts at 5:30. Breaking sports news when it happens on the Fan, Ohio sports destination.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
And here we go. Welcome back into another edition of Rothman and Ice. I'm Matty Ice, TLC on the board, doing his thing per usual. And to my right today, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Dylan Tyre is back in the building. DT, happy Monday. Happy New Year. What's been going on, man? How you feeling?
Happy New Year to you, Matty. Happy New Year, TLC. It's great to be back with you guys. First time we're chatting here in 2026. I can't say much is new beside the fact that I'm excited for the playoffs. And obviously, we have lots to talk about on today's show. Openings all over the National Football League. I'm primed for it. I'm ready for it. Let's chop it up today.
Let's get it in, man.
I'm excited to have 3 hours of fun with you guys.
Me too, man. Shout out to everybody in the YouTube chat. Shout out to our listeners, wherever you're at. We appreciate you. Hope you guys had a great weekend. I can't really see TLC in there. Like, his studio is really dark right now. What are you doing over? You got some mood lighting going on in your studio? What's going on, man?
See, this is how Isaiah had it on Fan Sports Sunday, and I forgot about it until I walked in here because I noticed the same thing with him. I'm like, he's doing radio in the dark over there. Somebody fix it.
I can't even see him over there. That's how I would have it usually, DT, if it weren't for YouTube and the bosses would yell at me to turn the lights up a little bit. But there we go. Now we can see TLC. What's going on,
Hello.
Man? How you feeling? You good
over
there?
Oh, my gosh. I'm riding high right now. The dog is off the chain. I can still talk into the microphone, thank God.
So I had a great weekend till about 11:30-ish last night.
Oh, boy.
11:30-ish last night. My weekend took a turn for the worst. You know what I'm saying? And it's just one of those things where I just ask, why do I do this? Why do I emotionally sign myself up for this stuff year in and year out? Whether it's fantasy football letting me down, my real life team letting me down. Congrats to TLC Steelers. They win the division. When as soon as the football left Tyler Loop's right foot, I just turned the TV off.
No.
It was an immediate miss. I didn't need to see anything else. The roller coaster ride, DT, I went on emotionally was unbelievable. Look, if I wasn't a Ravens fan, that game's an absolute banger. Mm-hmm. Last game of the regular season, division title on the line, two historic programs within that same division year in and year out delivering key moments like that. That's an awesome game to watch if you're just a non-Steelers or non-Ravens fan. But yeah, my weekend ended on a bitter note.
It was pretty crazy the way that it finished, right? Because man, I hate watching the Steelers. Like, I'm right at the top of the list of Steelers haters this season. That is just a miserable offense
to watch.
But with that said, they won the game with explosives. Like, Elouzier goes down, and Calvin Austin finds himself wide open right there. And Aaron Rodgers wins it. He had a couple of really nice balls down the seam and then, of course, wins it with an explosive play. The Ravens, they had their opportunity to come back and get things done there, but you can't rely on the kickers. I would have loved to have seen them take a shot to the end zone to try and win it. You know, they had a couple of big plays there with breakdowns in the Steelers secondary. Hey, maybe see if you can't get another one to break down. But yeah, it was a good football game. And I was thinking about you that entire time. Yeah. I was like, Matty is not going to be in a good mood tomorrow.
And it was one of those things, too, to where I turned the TV off and I'm just sitting in the darkness for a couple hours after that. Because just the emotion is there, like the adrenaline rush, the ride that I was on the whole way, that just doesn't wear off right away. You're right to bring up, I think there was some dicey clock management late in the game. Harbaugh, I think you got to, hey, we got some time left, about 15 seconds, a timeout, right around their 25-yard line. I would have liked to seen another play.
Yeah.
I would have liked to seen another play. Tough look, obviously, for the rookie kicker. They drafted him, so there was high hopes for him. And in that moment, he just couldn't deliver. TLC, have you ordered the hat and t-shirt for the AFC North champs? Is that on the way?
No, no. Okay. All my focus is on Houston now.
Okay, must be nice.
Do we do that? Am I in a room with guys that do that? Like, are you an AFC North championship t-shirt thing? Because I was looking.
No, that's got to be Super Bowls.
Yeah, I was looking at some Bears gear this weekend because I need to re-up on some Bears gear. And by the way, I've got a beautiful Peter Millar Bears hoodie coming for the playoffs. Yeah, it is so nice.
Flex on them.
But all the NFC North championship stuff, I'm like, you can't be wearing that stuff. Come on.
I think it depends on how long your team has gone without something like that.
Standards change.
So if you
then hey, I guess I could have bought something.
I think it's been a minute for you. I would understand if you went down that road.
I would also say hold off because you are in year one of your head coach and year two of your quarterback. So you got to have some standards of at least conference championship hopes are coming in the next few years. So this is the beginning of the window.
You should have done it though, DT. You should have done it.
I still can.
Yeah, I think you should.
Panthers fans, because this is a little bit of a that's like fake hope. I hate false hope. I was rooting for them this year. Oh, and LeBaker versus Bryce Young. Those are like my two kids going up against each other. But that's something that's like the Panthers aren't making a run. You guys, it may not be this year, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on that, but at some point, like, you guys got something in Chicago. You can't be getting excited about division victories.
No, you have to get excited about that. When's the last time you guys won the division?
I think 2018, last time we made the playoffs.
So, like, it's been for them, like, to your point about the Panthers.
But they got
Panthers,
high ceiling.
No, I get that, but it's been a minute. Panthers fans, I agree with you.
Like Steelers fans should be excited about winning the division.
No, I don't think you guys should. You guys have a standard and a history. Like, that's not what you guys are about.
But I feel like, well, here's the thing. Because with Houston's defense is so good. Now, I haven't lost hope. I don't want people to think that I'm just automatically punting, but our ceiling is quickly approaching.
You can win this game. I thought the Raven, I think either team can win this game.
And I'm going to be riding emotions like I should.
DK will be back. So yep. Big sigh of relief that Tyler Lute missed that field goal yesterday because it was looking real bleak for him, right, with that suspension that he could have held them back from going to the postseason because of that suspension. So he will be back. You guys are right to talk about Houston's defense. That's nasty. But up front, I just think the Steelers against that Houston offensive line can create some static, and you just never know. We've seen that with Ohio State recently, right? Your offensive line isn't in order. The game can get dicey no matter who you're playing. And so, yeah, listen, hop on Fanatics, hop on Nike, whatever it
maybe
is.
Maybe we'll get an
get
in,
you a t-shirt.
Maybe
get
we'll
you
get
a tea,
an
man.
In-show purchase.
Because, look, with
I'm with you, though. I'm not going to buy it. I'm here for Super Bowls. I'm not here for division titles. I'm here for the Packers.
So I think you got to do it every single round, though.
Oh, okay.
Is Jordan
Love
healthy,
by the way?
Every single round. I think we're going to see him.
Yeah, he should be back.
I think we're going to see him. Yeah.
Okay.
I think we'll see him. Because that kind of goes to my point, too. Do you think it's excessive that Major League Baseball teams pop bottles and do all that stuff after every single playoff series?
All right. So here's where I am with that. I think if I am in that room and I'm one of those guys, it is super fun because you're playing 160.
Yeah.
You're playing 162, right? That is a lot of baseball. You got to celebrate every now and again, right?
It's fun.
But with that said, it is absolutely excessive. I mean, sure, for maybe the pennant, of course, for the World Series, but that divisional round, I don't know about that.
Okay.
But if I'm in that room,
I'm with it.
Let me give you the college football equivalent of what you just described. The fans who stormed the field beating teams that they were supposed to beat anyway.
Oh, you're one of those guys?
I defend the fans.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm like,
okay,
if I'm a fan, hell yeah, I want to be on the field.
Yes.
Now, the largely students, by the way, who have a short window of time to actually do that. They're 4 years there. But the thing about it is, I don't like hold it against the fans of being like, oh, do you not understand that historically that game means nothing? Who cares?
Here's what I think.
If they're letting you run on the field, go do it anyway.
I'm with you.
I think running on the field, running on the court is the most overrated thing ever. The experience cannot be that great. It can't be the rush of running on the floor. That's over in the blink of an eye. And then you're just in this mosh pit probably for an half hour, or however long that takes after the game, trying to get out of there, dealing with crazy people. Like, no, that doesn't seem like a good time to me.
Field over court, but if that game ops team is ready to go with the music, get a little Seven Nation Army bumping or Mo Bamba bumping, you're in there in that mosh pit after the win, onions, buzzer beater, that could be fun.
I think we've reached our limit with Mo Bamba, kind of like 6'7". Mo Bamba is everywhere. Almost every college basketball game, every college football game I feel like I've watched this year, you hear that being played on a third down or whatever it is when they're defense, like whatever it is, I've kind of reached my limit with Mo Bamba.
Really?
So what's next? Yeah,
at Fiend? Because
Mo Bamba is years ago. Like Mo Bamba, when did that came out?
I was in high school.
That came out so long ago.
Say 2016. Yeah, maybe.
We got to graduate in 17.
We got to find a new one. We got to find
Fiend.
A new one.
Fiend.
Listen, that's a good workout Fiend. Song.
I mean,
a good workout
song. That's House on the workout. Bell still gets played, and that's from the 80s.
That's a classic. It's an all-time. Yeah. I just don't know if Mo Bamba's an all-timer.
I think Mo Bamba's going to be an all-timer. Not like an all-time classic song, but like for the like Seven Nation Army. That's early 2000s. I think for its niche of being a third down, third quarter, we need a big crowd eruption of some sort. I think 25 years from now, that song will still get played.
So you're saying in the sports realm,
yes,
that will go down as a classic in arena, in stadium track.
Yes, it's going to have its own niche.
You know,
it's not going to get radio play in 25 years.
No,
another one that's going to have some staying power is "Power" by Kanye West. I think
that works. Yeah, that works. That works.
No one man should have all that power.
Yeah, that gets it. That gets it rocking. I vividly remember when Miami the Heat won their first chip with Braun.
Miami the Heat. It sounds like a wrestler.
I liked that a lot.
With Braun, Bosh, and D-Wade. There's a video of LeBron just getting hype on the sideline when he knows it's happening and that song's playing. Like, I'll never forget. That song is stuck with me because of Miami the Heat winning their championship. Hey, here's our lineup for today. 1:30, Brendan D covers the NFL for the score. We got a lot to get into because the NFL is popping right now. We're going to start in Ohio coming up in our next segment with the Browns. We will go to the Bengals at 12:30 with what they did or didn't do and maybe some people's minds at the bottom of the hour. 2:30, our own Jeremy Birmingham will stop by to talk about, look, recruiting, the portal, just Ohio State football, where they're at, getting ready for another offseason. Hey, just a reminder, as always, you miss anything from the show, don't worry. You can always catch up wherever you get your podcast. All you have to do is type in Rothman and Ice, everything we do from noon to 3. We'll be waiting there for you. Subscribe to the podcast as well. Bet365 is the sponsor of the Rothman and Ice podcast. Coming up, we're going to start with the Brownies. They made a move today. They got rid of Stefanski. They're keeping Andrew Berry. Do we like the moves made by ownership? We'll talk about it next. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
It's Reaction Monday, where our highly trained experts talk football.
Sponsored by The Roofing Guys.
Your home for reaction and overreaction. The Fan.
Hey, it's Bobby Kerr.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose, so you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, or player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet just $5. It's the only betting app I use. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In-app only.
There was a man who couldn't stand.
A mom who couldn't wait.
A scientific community that said it couldn't be done.
And then you.
And then I.
And then we. Brought neuromuscular disease into screaming color with the Muscular Dystrophy Association.
For 75 years, our voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
We've willed the impossible into existence.
We've pushed the science,
raised the funds,
shifted the narrative,
and transformed the reality of life with neuromuscular diseases.
For 75 years, we've built communities together,
established the field of neuromuscular medicine,
and made it thrive.
Call that a legacy.
Call it impact.
Call it momentum.
Just call it ours.
Because it's the generations of community heroes that give MDA the strength we have today.
And until neuromuscular disease is a thing of the past, you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
We got a higher home appraisal after we put away our African art and family photos.
Has this happened to you because of race or national origin? Contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. A message from HUD and the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. And app only.
Morning Juice is now live on YouTube. Join Bobby Carpenter and Jeff Thedoff weekday mornings from 6 to 8.
Just search 971 The Fan to catch the live experience or watch on demand.
The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Mostly sunny skies for us today to kick off the week with daytime highs getting up into the mid to upper 40s. For tonight, a little bit milder with lows right around freezing and mostly cloudy skies. And then for Tuesday, chances of rain are back into the forecast. Otherwise, skies will be cloudy and mild with breezy winds and highs in the low 50s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Bet365, the official online sports book of Rothman and Ice. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Anthony's tennis shorts were so tight, they had to pixelate his crotch. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
That you are. Welcome back in. Dylan Tyer in the house today for AR. As always, we appreciate your time. Whether you're listening in the car, on the app, in YouTube, wherever you're at, listening to Rothman and Ice, we love you. You know we love you. Happy New Year. DT, what do they call this, Black Monday?
Oof.
Around the world of football and the NFL, and it's a lot going on. So let's start up in Cleveland, because if you've been grinding all day, if you're just waking up, whatever it may be, and you haven't heard the news, Kevin Stefanski is out. The Browns have let Kevin Stefanski go. They're going to keep the GM in Andrew Berry. Before we give our take on the whole situation, DT, let's hear from Jimmy Haslam, the owner, on the decision to let go of Kevin Stefanski.
Personnel decisions, particularly with people at the top of an organization, are always difficult. And I can tell you, having made a lot of these over the years, that this was as difficult as any we've ever had to make because of the quality of the person involved. Organized, worked hard, navigated our ship for 6 years through the inevitable ups and downs that we face in the NFL. Outstanding father and husband. And I think even you all who are around a lot probably underappreciate how much time we all spend together. And there's nothing more fun than winning an NFL game like we did the last 2 weeks, beating our arch-rival Steelers 2 weeks ago and then winning yesterday on the last play of the game and seeing the joy in the locker room. And there's nothing more distasteful than losing an NFL game. And it's finite. You either win or you lose. And Kevin did a lot of good things here over his time period with us. It was an extremely difficult decision we made. And I shouldn't say I have no doubt. I would be highly optimistic that Kevin will be a head coach again in the league.
So two-time coach of the year, as we know, first couple seasons popped up in the playoffs, right, and did some pretty good things out of the gate. Last couple of years, though, DT, we're looking at 8-26. I think the guy was dealt a pretty tough hand, especially this year, with just the moving pieces, too many moving pieces at the most important position. I don't really know what coach would be able to manage that cleanly and have the results show in a positive way. That combined with, I think, lack of talent as far as true weapons, especially in that wide receiver room right now, there's some young guys I think you can absolutely believe in on offense for years to come. But Kevin Stefanski, I think, has shown us that you get him a competent quarterback, some pretty good offensive things will follow. But at the end of the day, as we know, this is a results-based business. And so when you've been around for a few years at a certain franchise and the record looks the way it looked, whether it's, quote, fair or not, I'm not really surprised that Jimmy Haslam and ownership went down this path with Stefanski. How do you feel?
Well, I think multiple things can be true here. And what you all talked about right there, I think, goes back to something that we just heard Haslam say. He was kind of making a point that maybe this is a difficult thing for us to do because we are so close. He said, you all don't see how much time we spend together. That's the issue to me. Get out of there. The owners of the franchise need to get out of there and let the football people do the football things. And I think that's a key issue with the Cleveland Browns, is that you have too much meddling, right? You have these rumors that, oh, this person wanted Shador, this person wanted Deshaun, the coach didn't want this guy, the GM didn't want this guy, etc. That's a huge issue, and I think that's a major reason for the dysfunction right now that you are talking about. You just said it. Kevin Stefanski was dealt a tough hand. Andrew Berry, at times, I could say, has been dealt a tough hand. And it's because ownership meddles there. I think that is the key issue. Now, I just told you multiple things can be true. I think Kevin Stefanski is a good coach and can be a good coach going forward in the National Football League in the right situation. I think it takes the right GM, it takes the right owner to make everything successful. You're seeing that with some of these turnarounds this season alone. Look at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Look at the Chicago Bears. It's a marriage of quarterback, general manager, head coach that makes sense. And in some of these situations, the ownership is saying, hey, we'll take a step back, or hey, we're going to be very involved in hiring these guys because we've got a pretty good idea of, you know, our way around the NFL. I think there are two different ways to look at it there, which we don't even have to get into. But Stefanski, I think, while I think he's a good coach and can be a good coach going forward, I also think at the same time that maybe it was time for both parties to split ways. You talked about the lack of weapons. I still think, though, that there are coaches in the NFL that have done more with less. You know what I mean? They had a great defense, maybe the best defense in the NFL this year. To me, you've got to create something offensively that gets you a little bit closer to 500, right? When you have a defense like that, this is also understanding they had a rotating door at quarterback this season. Their whole plan at quarterback was absurd from the start. Yeah. And you don't have those weapons. I get that. Yeah. I get that. But hey, maybe things get a little bit stale and everybody needs a fresh start. Of course, Andrew Berry is going to remain there in Cleveland, so it's not a complete rip of the Band-Aid. It's not completely fresh. But that's what I'm saying, where multiple things can be true. I might be wrong with some of these
things. No, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Andrew Berry, so let's go down that path, because I'm sure there's some Browns fans that feel maybe indifferent about keeping him, because where you are right now with what you've seen with his ability to draft, you feel pretty good about it. I think you have to. With the, you know, you got Fannin at tight end, who's an absolute dude. Quinshon Judkins, we know what he's about. Dylan Sampson, I like him as a bit of a change of pace back that can provide a spark for you. And he drafted the rookie of the year on defense. Carson Schwechter is going to win that. He's been flying around and just being an absolute monster on the second level of the defense. You zoom out from this draft class, and there's some questionable decisions about where are the guys on either side of the ball that we can really rely on. But I can understand why ownership would look at what just happened and say, okay, let's continue to ride that wave and see what this guy can do. I think a breadcrumb for me that I followed earlier in November, on the back end of November, was when Alex Wright got a deal, a 3-year extension. To me, when an ownership group allows a GM to make a deal and push money into the future, I don't think they're going to get rid of that guy. That was one of my biggest Blues clues at the moment, that, okay, I think Andrew Berry is going to be coming back in this thing. And so this is a critical moment, obviously, for this franchise, again, to figure out who is going to be the captain of the ship on the sideline, but more importantly, the captain of the ship on the field. And so you have two first-round draft picks, and you have a quarterback room, DT, as we know, that's, it's pretty much set. Like, I guess you can add one more to this thing, but that's kind of mirroring what we just had this past year, because this year, Deshaun's going to be healthy in some form or fashion if he can get through the offseason. And you know, a lot of times ownership doesn't like to have big money just sitting on the sideline doing nothing. And so they're in a very, very interesting spot. Maybe it's a situation to where they're looking around and saying, especially if Dante Moore goes back to Oregon, maybe there's not even going to be a quarterback worthy of picking that high, and they'll address a need with a playmaker and an offensive lineman. But that's what this is all about. You cannot compete in this league at any level, really, in football without having competent to great play at the quarterback position. So that's where they have to do their homework. Andrew Berry, you got to really dig in on everything that you saw on film and connecting with whoever the next head coach is going to be and seeing his vision as well. Because that's where this can get dicey for any of the quarterbacks in the room, is if the next head coach comes in and says, nah, I'm good. These guys are fine, but they're not my guy. You know, usually they want their guy. There's just going to be a lot of changing, I think, again, on the offensive side of the ball, and probably should be based off what we saw this year.
That's what makes this head coach hire so intriguing. Who is going to want to put themselves in this situation? Because you're kind of inheriting a roster that is ready built in some respects. You have that great rookie class from this past year,
yeah,
and then they're going to have a great opportunity in the draft this year. It's exciting because I think the Browns are in a pretty good position, which might be crazy to say, but this rookie class this year sets them up relatively nicely. And then you have that ready-made quarterback room. So it's going to take a head coach that likes that quarterback room.
Yeah.
And you know what you're getting in Shador now, and maybe he's the backup to Deshaun Watson to start next year, which gives you the opportunity. Hey, can Watson find his old form somehow, or is he going to be what he was? And if it doesn't work out with Deshaun Watson, hey, you know what you're getting out of Shador year two. Maybe he takes a step. You have something there. Maybe you sign another veteran quarterback to add to that mix. Who knows? But you have a foundation to build off of. It's just going to take that right guy. Who is going to want to step into this situation, knowing how volatile things can be there, and say, hey, I'm going to be the one to stabilize this. I have a plan. It's a fascinating situation in Cleveland.
It is. Jimmy Haslam was asked today about who is the Browns quarterback of the future. Here's his answer. I haven't heard this yet.
I'm not going to get into specifics. We have a lot of work to do on the roster, particularly on the offensive side of the roster.
So nothing there. I'd be surprised if he gave us any definitive answer on any of those guys. Mary Kay Cabot did tweet out earlier that Jimmy Haslam did say that he absolutely wants defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz back, which I can understand. That defense has always had some nice bite to it. You know, you got some guys, you got three level guys, right? You got Garrett on the D-line, you got Carson Schwessinger at linebacker, and you got the Warden and Denzel Ward on the outside that you can absolutely continue to build around that.
Mason Graham?
Correct. Mason Graham, who they drafted very high last year as well. Going back to Stefanski real quick. If I'm him, and Diane Rossini did report that she spoke to Kevin Stefanski and said that he's eager to jump back into the head coaching ranks right away. Get me to New York. Get me to New York. I got Jackson Dart, Malik Nabers, Cam Scatabone. I got a franchise left tackle and Andrew Thomas out there in the Big Apple. And so that's the job that I would want if I were Kevin Stefanski. We'll get to that throughout the show. There's a lot of openings. What do you think of that fit for a guy that is, quote, an offensive mind to go out there and maybe link up with Jackson Dart and some of those young guys that have showed some promise?
I think that makes sense. I like the tools that the Giants have. That's another situation that feels like it's ripe for a turnaround. They have lots of talent there and just need the right guy to kind of calm things down. And I think he'd be a good fit there because he has that experience already. The Titans, another possibility for Kevin Stefanski, but that Giants team is very exciting to me. I think a lot of guys want that job.
Pressure pack situation in New York, but at the end of the day, man, it's all about having dudes. And to me, when you look at some of the openings right now, the runway that you can have as a head coach with the playmakers they have in New York would be appealing to me. Coming up in 2 minutes, we're going down to Cincinnati next. What did they do today? We'll fill you in on what the future is going to look like for some of their key decision makers after the break. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
Hey guys, 13-year NFL veteran and Super Bowl champion Jason McCourty here, and I'm the innovation ambassador at FAIR, Food Allergy and Research Education. I would say the most challenging thing as a parent of a kid who has a food allergy is probably the ignorance that I myself had in the beginning. I didn't know what anaphylactic shock was. I didn't know the dangers, let alone the things that she needed to be able to have a normal life. When you go to drop your kid off, and every single time in the beginning, we'd have to go through everything she was allergic to. Preparation is everything. And me, for playing football for 13 years, it was all throughout the course of the week, is getting ready for game day. When you're on the field, you're playing for your fans. At home, you're playing for your family.
My playbook, read labels, keep it allergy friendly, and have an epinephrine nasal spray as a backup plan. Because when my family's safe from food allergens, that's the real victory. Visit foodallergy.org to learn more.
While serving in Vietnam, a grenade took my ability to see. Today, I'm a sculptor. Now, my fingers are my eyes. I'm Michael Naranjo. As a veteran, I know the challenges of life can be great. In my art, turning a lump of clay into something beautiful, that is worth doing. Life is like that. We each must use what we can to make things better.
DAV helps veterans like Michael get the benefits they've earned. They help more than 1 million veterans every year in life-changing ways.
Now, I show others how they can create something with their own hands. I know it can do a lot of good. With support from DAV, more veterans can shape their lives into a thing of beauty. My victory is bringing beauty into the world.
Michael Naranjo, may your victories inspire many more. Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Rossman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
There's nothing like ripping off your pants and enjoying some lobster bisque. This is Rothman and Ice.
Welcome back in. Dylan Tyre in the building. TLC on the board. Hope you guys had a great weekend. We'll do Party Like a Rockstar next to round out the first hour. I was just telling you during the break, you know, we're Stranger Things, guys. You know,
We
did that, hit the finish line on that. I'm going back and I'm starting Succession because I watched the first few episodes of season one. And I was like, I'm into this. But for whatever reason, I just bailed, DT. Mm. But now I'm going all in. So is this something you're signing off on? Is me going start to finish with Succession?
I'm signing off in all caps, bold ink on that one. I love Succession. Great theme song. That theme song is unreal. I've got that like in my Apple Music
that
playlist.
The piano they got going there. Okay.
Great show. Yeah. I get it. I get stepping out when you did because it can kind of be a lot. But once you're in it, you are in it. Yeah. I love that show. It's got a little bit of everything.
I'm locked in. Let's lock in on what the Cincinnati Bengals have done because, DT, not much change is coming. Doesn't look like any change is coming. Reports coming out of their building today. Zach Taylor will be back. Duke Tobin will also be back as well. I'm not surprised by the Zach Taylor call because, to me, they were never going to pay a coach to go away. Zach Taylor's got 2 years remaining on his contract. The Browns family has never really hit me as a family that wants to pay a coach millions of dollars to not be their guy. Look, I get it. He's an offensive guy. You can see the vision with him. When he's got Burrow, he's got his guys more times than not. It's a good product outside of what we saw yesterday and some of the spotty things throughout their time. Joe Burrow's health, we know that's an important thing. He stays healthy. You'll usually be in the mix. It's fair to question some of the calls he made on the defensive side of things, right? Letting Lou Anarumo go. You're bringing Al Golden in year one. That didn't work out very well, but I think the focus should be more on Duke Tobin. That's the guy that I was curious to hear about and see what they were going to do because I wasn't so sure, Dylan, that he was going to survive this because we just got done talking about the Browns and how there's a positive outlook because of the young core that they have. I don't know if there's a lot of that going on down there in Cincinnati, and especially when you're talking about a unit on defense that's really – they really just needed them to get to the middle of the pack. And so you look at the draft picks that haven't been very good. You drafted a couple guys early on, especially down on the defensive line, and those guys really haven't popped consistently enough. And then you look at the lack of moves that the front office has made in free agency, especially last year. They didn't hardly do anything. Coming off I think they were 9-8, somewhere around there a year ago. They just needed more oomph on the defensive side of the ball. So I think that was the surprise to me. I kind of woke up this morning and I was like, Duke Tobin, I don't know if he's going to make it to another year, but he absolutely will do that. And they're running the back with Zach Taylor and Duke for another season.
I wish I could say that I'm surprised, but I'm not. And it's always going to come back to the money thing with the Cincinnati Bengals, right? You just said it. They don't want to pay a head coach to not be there. And for me, that immediately goes to, okay, we're going to keep the head coach where he is. Fine. Who's next on the totem pole? Who's the guy that can affect change in this organization? And that would be Duke Tobin, right? So my mind goes to the exact same place that yours went to. How can we make changes? And what's the definition of insanity? Doing something that doesn't work over and over and over again. Right. And here we are again with the Cincinnati Bengals. This team has quickly become one of the more frustrating franchises in the NFL. And I feel for that fan base because what are you supposed to do there? They've got the offense. They've got the quarterback. They've got the weapons. They don't have the defense, and nothing changes. All right, Duke Tobin, it's your last chance this offseason, man. You've got to change something.
It feels safe, doesn't it? It feels like this is a safe move in their minds, right? In the front office, it's just having a competent ship, having guys you're comfortable with, and everybody's good and knows what it is.
I hope they have a plan.
I hope they, look, I think this is their plan, because I don't know if much is going to change. Have not heard anything about Al Golden yet, so we got to hold out on that to see if Zach Taylor wants to make a move yet again with a new defensive coordinator. That would surprise me. Well, let's see, man. Some Bengal fans may be on board with that, but it's tough to see, right? And I know the Colts season fizzled out, but the way that that defense looked early on in the season to about the halfway point of the year, I mean, you get even half that in Cincinnati, then this team is really dangerous like they were a few years ago. So we're talking 3 years of no playoff appearances, 8 out of the last 10 years with no playoff appearances, and just the frustrating losses that have piled up, because I think it's a personnel issue. I think it's a personnel issue. This year you had Zach Taylor make the decision to switch up the linebacking core. You had two rookies playing linebacker at one point this year. You're not going to win a whole bunch of games there. And so I think they need to invest in veteran right now talent on defense. When they had those guys, Jesse Bates and Von Bell, and, you know, had the guys up front with Trey and that crew and Logan Wilson when he was playing well, you had some grown-ups in the room that were sound players. And right now they just don't have that. And you're not totally wasting years, because you're still going to have good runway with T and Joe and Jamar and those guys. But, man, this thing is so fragile. And when the Bengals went to the Super Bowl, they went to the AFC title game right after that, you're thinking, man, hey, we're just going to be racking these years up year and year again. Football doesn't work that way. And your quarterback has a bit of an injury history going on right now. I don't think he's injury prone. I think sometimes that's too heavy of a label, but it is what it is. Like, he's missed a decent amount of time,
you could say,
in his NFL career. They have to find a way to get the other side of the ball to support the offense. They do that, then they'll be right back in the thick of things. But that's why I think there's just so much pressure now on Duke Tobin to deliver, because that's what they're missing right now, is a GM that's going to get them talent immediately to help out, and on younger and cheap contracts as well.
That's what makes this a fascinating situation, because that is what the Bengals had when they went to the Super Bowl and lost, which is really what they're still riding now, and that's 4 years ago. They had that established talent. Since then, they haven't been able to grow that talent themselves, draft and develop. They haven't done that, which is what's affected their window, right? You're going to keep the window open because you have the offense. As long as you have that quarterback, the window's going to be open. But now you are paying that quarterback, and now you are paying those weapons. So how do you figure it out defensively? Well, the recipe around the rest of the league is, hey, if we've got to pay the offense, then the defense is going to have to be cheap, and hopefully you've drafted and developed guys. They haven't done that, and that's what makes this situation intriguing to me. What you're saying is, hey, to make this an effective football team and get them back in the playoff picture, they need talent that works now.
Yeah.
But it goes back to the money thing. How are you going to acquire that talent that works right now and keep everything under the cap? I mean, they've got space to make it happen, but are they going to want to pay guys? I don't know. That's maybe the breaking point right now, because Tobin, you said it, the pressure is on him. Can he convince them to cough up a little bit more money to make this thing viable again?
That's why the draft is just so critical. No matter whether you're a team that's trying to build something and be on your way, or if you're a team that's ready made to continue to have that window open up even more, that's what you have to have. The Eagles just did it a couple years ago. Cooper DeJean, Quinyon Mitchell on the defensive side of the ball, blended in with guys that were premier talents already, and you saw what they were able to do. Kansas City, outside of the last, they've sprinkled in over the last few years some young guys, especially on defense, that you can build around a little bit to keep that runway as long as it can possibly be. And so, yeah, I would have been surprised if they would have completely cleaned house.
I agree.
The Bengals just don't feel like a franchise that likes to do those kind of knee-jerk reaction type of moves, even though I don't even know if it would be necessarily a knee-jerk move based off of the history that we have and the body of work that we have now with Duke Tobin and Zach Taylor. And so you look at Miles Murphy, first-round pick in 2023. It's okay, right? Like, Shamar Stewart is wait and see. And these are first-round picks that you spent in two out of the last 3 years. And to your point about when you're financially paying a quarterback $50 million and Ja'Marr Chase a whole bunch of money and T. Higgins a whole bunch of money, these type of high-end draft picks are so big to hit on, because if you miss, you're going to be left with these holes on your roster and you're going to be left with these weeks where that side of the ball is just completely letting. Think about the Jets game this year, the Bears game this year. Those are on the defense, man. Like, they've lost so many games where they've scored 30, 35 plus points and lost those games. They don't get this corrected. I think the Bengal fans are unfortunately going to be watching the same movie over and over again, and I know they got to be sick of it.
Is Joe Burrow on this team next year, or did they keep the guy who makes the decisions in place because they trust him to make offseason moves with a player like Joe Burrow, with a player like T. Higgins, with a player like Ja'Marr Chase? I'm not saying, but I'm just saying.
I hear what you're saying, because he look, I think you were in after he made those yes. dicey question, not questions, but he's kind of questioning how much fun he's having as a player at this point in his career. When that stuff starts to come out, and I know he tried to clean it up after that, that's kind of what's going on internally to me. I think that's him speaking his truth. And so if you are Burrow and you're continuing to run into this same brick wall and you're looking around the landscape of the league and you're seeing other franchises turn things around pretty quickly because they have competent head coaching stuff or their GM's getting things in order, I think it's fair to question, does this guy really want to be around for a long time in Cincinnati? We shall see. But the news today is Duke Tobin is back. Zach Taylor is back. Doesn't feel like much change is going to happen down there in Cincinnati when it comes to the decision makers in the jungle. Draft is going to be critical for them. Speaking of the draft, we'll talk about how the draft order is kind of crystallizing itself and coming into focus coming out of yesterday's games at the top of the hour. But coming up next, you know how we round out the first hour, folks. It's time to party like a rock star. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
If you miss a live show, you can catch the podcast. If you miss the podcast, our hosts have volunteered to have dinner with you.
The meatloaf!
The Fan.
Career.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose, so you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, or player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet just $5. It's the only betting app I use. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In-app only.
What hope is? Hope is action. Carving a path forward, even when it's hard.
And kids who still know how to dream. They're the best pathfinders of all.
So at Child Fund, hope means helping millions of children living in poverty worldwide to grow up healthy, educated, skilled, and so all those good things can come true for them. Safe.
And that means safe at home. Safe at school and safe online.
Hope means walking this path together, all of us. Because when we work together, we can do so much more.
That's right. Hope includes you.
Child Fund, because we need each other.
To learn how Child Fund works with children in 23 countries to help them achieve their full potential, visit childfund.org. That's childfund.org.
Some journeys start small, with small pause and big purpose.
Look how little you are, you sweet girl.
Every great partnership begins with the first step.
Bella, let's go.
Guiding them through the world so one day they can guide someone through life. With shared experience, confidence grows, and the path becomes clear. It takes time, patience, and love. But the reward lasts a lifetime.
Hey, good girl, Bella.
You don't just raise a puppy. You raise a future. Become a Dogs, Inc. puppy raiser. Give a dog a purpose. Give someone
more at dogsinc.org.
Your child's oral health milestones matter. By age one, see a pediatric dentist to establish good oral health habits. At seven, see an orthodontist to check your child's bite, teeth, and jaws. Around 15, visit an oral and maxillofacial surgeon to have your child's wisdom teeth examined. Remember, milestones met, healthy teeth set. Visit milestonesmet.org.
Come into your...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose, so you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, or player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet just $5. It's the only betting app I use. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In-app only.
Wrinkles, gray hair, and hearing loss are common signs of getting older. But being short of breath, having tightness in your chest, coughing, and wheezing are not. If you are experiencing these symptoms, you may be one of the millions of people who are living with a condition called COPD but don't know it. Early diagnosis and treatment can add years of better breathing to your life. For more information, talk to your doctor and visit copdfoundation.org today.
Hi, I'm Connie Britton. I support Feeding America because they help provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. Learn more at feedingamerica.org. Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
All your favorite fan shows are on YouTube. Along with those fake YouTube ads like Chew This Gum and It Grows New Teeth. Experience the splendor of Bo sitting in his closet, Timmy Hall's gouty gold chains, and Matty Ice wearing a coat in 90-degree weather. It's all there. Head to YouTube and subscribe today. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Let's all gather into the Kiki. It's time to party like a rock star.
All right, welcome back in. Let's get after a DT. I'll lead us off this week.
Let's do it.
I will lead us off this week, and I'm going down to Hotlanta, and I'm talking about a former Texas Longhorn, one of my favorite players to watch in the National Football League. I'm talking Bijan Robinson. This dude is for real, man. Some people were comping him to CMC with his skill set and what he can do coming out of the backfield and running the rock. I saw this from Pro Football Focus. Most tackles avoided in a single season now belongs to Bijan Robinson. 113 missed tackles this season. He averaged 5.2 yards per carry. That's fifth in the league. 1,400 yards and 7 touchdowns. He's just a joy to watch, man. I love watching the dude ball. He's so elusive. He can take it to the crib. He's delivered on the hype, I think. When they selected him with the 8th overall pick a few years ago, there were some questions out there about, man, is it really worth taking a running back that high? These type of cats, absolutely. You take them all day and tomorrow. And so down there in Atlanta, they got to figure out who their next head coach is going to be. But if you are a head coach and you're looking at young talent to build around on that side of the ball, this is a dude you want to start with. So he finishes the year top 5 in the NFL in rushing yards, right behind Jonathan Taylor, Derrick Henry, and James Cook. But yeah, DT, I'm starting with Bijan Robinson, man. This dude is legit. He balls almost every single week. I love the dude.
I like the call out, and thank God they fired Raheem Morris, because I want to see an offensive-minded head coach down there. That team should be so much better than they are, and I'm with you. Bijan is a joy to watch. I don't know if there are any more dynamic running backs in the NFL than Bijan. Heck, I wish they gave him the ball a little bit more than they do already.
I agree, and are they the only team that kind of has that overhead camera that have you seen those videos
seen
that they tweet out? They're amazing. Like, if you go to the Falcons Twitter page, wherever you can find their social media stuff, every once in a while, they'll throw out a highlight of him, and it's not like, I don't know if it's a drone or whatever it may be. Maybe it's just in the ceiling of that stadium, but they've got a really cool camera shot of this dude when he's out there getting busy. So yeah, Bijan Robinson, another incredible year for him, partying like a rock star.
All right, I could do any number of quarterbacks from the 2024 draft class. We're talking about Drake May taking a huge step this year. We're talking about Caleb Williams taking a huge step. Bo Nix, another very solid season. feels like that quarterback is pretty darn, or that quarterback class is pretty darn good. But I'm going to go to a guy that was drafted a few years ago. That's Trevor Lawrence. I want to shout out Trevor Lawrence and what he was able to do this season and get the Jacksonville Jaguars back on track with the help of Liam Cohen. I'm not a Trevor Lawrence hater by any stretch of the imagination. I like the guy. I want to see him succeed, but it felt like he was kind of in that Justin Herbert camp for the first few years of his career, where you can see the talent there. He makes some stupid decisions. It started to go south for him, but he was able to right the ship this season. He finished sixth in the NFL in passing yards this year, 4,007 yards, 29 passing touchdowns for Trevor Lawrence this season. That is fifth in the National Football League. I think pretty quietly a very, very nice season for Trevor Lawrence. So I'm happy for that guy. Yeah. Do I think they do anything in the playoffs? Not so sure about that with how tough the AFC looks like it's going to be. But Trevor Lawrence has made this team relevant again.
He has, man. He absolutely has. Second candidate for me. Now, this is a man that's looked straight down the barrel of a camera and blew a kiss at me twice, and I did not like it.
Mm.
But I got to respect the man. It's Mike Tomlin. Like, Mike Tomlin is that dude to me. He has done this year in and year out without any really good quarterback play, and they're relevant. That, to me, is the sign of a really good coach. And so, look, broke my heart yesterday. I get it. But I've always had so much respect for Mike Tomlin. And if they find this man a good to great quarterback again, I think the Steelers are going to be really, really dangerous. We talked about it off the top. Their offense right now is capped, right? Lack of weapons, older quarterback. I don't really love Arthur Smith as their offensive coordinator. Wouldn't mind if they made a change over there at that position. But look, they won the division this year. A lot of people didn't see that coming. I know I didn't really see that coming, especially when they removed George Pickens from the equation after adding DK Metcalf. Head scratcher for me. They know the guy in-house. They're probably fed up. I understand it. But Mike Tomlin, I think, is a model of consistency. And there's not a lot of guys that have provided that for their franchise. And so the Steelers, this is what they do. They usually ride with their head coach for a long time. There have not been a whole bunch of head coaches in the history of that franchise. But I can't help respect the body of work that Mike Tomlin has put together. They win the division this year. They're going back to the playoffs again this season. This guy's one of the best captains of the ships around the National Football League. Mike Tomlin, partying like a rock star.
All right. You brought up Bijan Robinson, and rightly so. But will you allow me to have a James Cook conversation for a moment here?
Do your thing.
Everybody talks about Josh Allen and what he means to the Buffalo Bills. No doubt that team would be so much worse without Josh Allen. He didn't have the season he had last year, but you could still make the case that he's the most valuable player in the National Football League because that team would be bad without Josh Allen. But what would they be without James Cook? Mm. Is this guy the most underrated running back in the National Football League? He led the league in rushing this year, 1,621 yards. He had 12 touchdowns, 9 big plays this season. He averaged just under 100 yards a game on the ground. I love me some James Cook. He means so much to that offense. This was a guy in fantasy football, too. He was like running back 16 in fantasy football this year. Are you kidding me? He won people leagues. I love me some James Cook. Just want to give him a little bit of shine because I feel like Josh Allen gets all of it.
He does. And I really like that call, too, because they don't really have playmakers on the outside that truly scare you. Right, it's Kincaid every once in a while. It's Khalil Shakir every once in a while. But that dude is consistent as it gets. And I love just the whole James Dalvin Cook and Dalvin James Cook, how the parents just swap the names for the brothers right there. But, yeah, he's an absolute dude. He can go. I'm going to the NBA for my last one. Because, you know, sometimes, DT, the head chef, hey, calls in sick. And the sous chef needs to step up and hold down the restaurant. Jaylen Brown right now is holding down the Boston Celtics restaurant at a high, high level. We may see Jason Tatum at some point this year. Who knows? There sounds like there's some optimism over there in Boston. But this dude on Saturday night went into L.A., took out the Clippers, and dropped a 50-piece on him. Went to McDonald's and said, let me get a 50-piece nugget. Let me get a 50-piece nugget from y'all right now. 50 points from Jaylen Brown, 5 assists, 3 rebounds, 6 of 10. From 369% from the floor. There was always a debate. Do you need both Tatum and Brown? Here's what they have. They have two true number ones. These guys have won a championship together. They've been building this for years and years. But Jaylen Brown is showing everybody right now that I'm one of the dudes around the association. That 50 piece has not only just been a one-off, this guy's fourth in the league in points per game, scoring 30 a night with 6 rebounds and 5 assists on 51% shooting from the flow. Jaylen Brown, DT, is partying like a rock star.
I love that Jaylen Brown call out. I also saw that he's trying to get some more endorsements. He's like big into doing that. So yeah. The businessman away from the floor.
Yeah.
Respect there as
gotcha.
Well. He's really finding himself this season. All right. I got time for one more guy
go
here.
Ahead. Do your thing.
All right. I got to give a little shout out to my Chicago Bears. We haven't talked enough Bears on this show. The man we're calling Unc in Chicago, that is Kevin Byard. He led the NFL with 7 interceptions this season. He is on the tail end of his career, but he stepped up in a massive way this season. Folks, look at the Chicago Bears turnaround. Of course, Ben Johnson, a big part of that. That offensive line, a key part. Caleb Williams, the guy making the plays on offense for the Chicago Bears, a huge, huge part. But Kevin Byard is the heart and soul of the Chicago Bears. If you're a Bears fan, if you consume social media, you know that. He's the guy giving all the speeches. This is a veteran in this league who led the NFL in interceptions this season. So I just want to shout out my guy, Kevin Byard, on that back end.
I like it. Top of the hour. After an update, the NFL draft order, folks, it's starting to come together. Who's got the number one overall pick? Where are the Browns and the Bengals picking? We will tell you next. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
Common man, a radio veteran, has a large hemorrhoid. Timmy Hall, a good, clean boy. Moonlight, Sash Man, hemorrhoid. Common man and Timmy.
Weekdays at 3.
The Fan.
Enjoy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In app only.
My mom is a veteran and she was injured in the line of duty.
I hurt my leg in a training accident when she was only 2 years old.
She had 7 different surgeries over the span of 9 years and there were tons of complications.
I couldn't be the mom my kids needed me to be.
She missed so much.
After my last surgery, I got an infection so bad I thought it was going to kill me.
I told her she couldn't leave me yet. There was still so much she had to see. I hadn't even graduated.
I'm doing much better now. I may have lost my leg, but I've gained so much. I'm an active part of my kids' lives.
She can kick a mean soccer ball.
DAV's been there for me and my family. Through thick and thin, they've had our back.
Every year, DAV helps more than 1 million veterans like Sandy get the health and disability benefits they've earned so they can achieve victories great and small.
My victory is getting my life back. I got my joy back.
We got our mom back, thanks to DAV.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
People don't realize that glaucoma is one of the leading causes of blindness.
Because there are often no early symptoms, nearly half of those with glaucoma may not even know they have it until vision loss has occurred.
I was diagnosed with normal tension glaucoma in July of 2020. And what we found out at that point was I had already lost 40% of my sight. And you think it only affects people that are, 75 or older, retired, grandparents. And that's not the reality of it.
I didn't think at all glaucoma was going to affect me because I didn't know of anyone that had glaucoma, no one in my family. When you have glaucoma, you can't get back that sight that you lost. And so early detection and treatment is vitally, vitally important.
Don't miss life's most beautiful moments. Schedule an eye exam today.
National Glaucoma Research, a Bright Focus Foundation program, offers free resources and tips for healthy vision.
Learn how to protect your sight at stopglaucoma.org.
It's been a real journey since 2014 when I first had my injury. I realized that my home was just not working for me and that it was time to ask for help. Homestar Troops is really giving me my life back. The shower allows me to go in and turn around with my chair, pull down storage racks, automated door systems, hours of my morning given back to me. Adaptive sports are a huge part of my life, a huge part of my healing journey as well. Homestar Troops helped with making sure that I had a home gym so that I can continue to train. This past year, I was able to host Thanksgiving in my home. And it was the first time I was able to have my whole family in one place and I was able to contribute to the meal. There are a lot more veterans in need, and Homestar Troops is going to be there to help them too.
Homes for Our Troops builds and donates specially adapted custom homes nationwide for severely injured post 9/11 veterans and enables them to rebuild their lives. Join our mission at hfotusa.org.
Around the world, Children International and friends like you are giving children in poverty a chance to grow and thrive, to be healthy, to succeed in school, and achieve great things. How do we do it? In the best way possible, by helping ensure access to healthcare, nutrition, and educational opportunities. And most importantly, by empowering youths and their families to get out of poverty and into employment through life skills, computer, and job training. The very tools they need to break the cycle of poverty and build futures full of promise. Because every child deserves a chance to realize their full and best potential. Learn more about how Children International is empowering children and families by going to children.org today. That's children.org.
The best words to hear at the TSA security checkpoint? You're good to go. All it takes is a little preparation. Get to the airport early. Bring a carry-on bag that fits in the overhead. And have an acceptable ID. Not all state-issued IDs will cut it. Check out tsa.gov/ID and see which TSA-acceptable IDs make the grade, like a real ID or passport.
Before you jet, do a little prep, and you're good to go. Check out tsa.gov/ID or the MyTSA app.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. After six seasons and two playoff berths, the Browns fired two-time NFL Coach of the Year Kevin Stefanski, owner Jimmy Haslam on the decision.
This was as difficult as any we've ever had to make because of the quality of the person involved. Kevin did a lot of good things here over his time period with us. It was an extremely difficult decision we made, and I would be highly optimistic that Kevin will be a head coach again in the league.
GM Andrew Berry will lead the search for the next head coach. More coaching news. Out west, the Raiders fired head coach Pete Carroll after one season, while the Cardinals fired Jonathan Gannon after three. This update is sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. BMI Federal Credit Union has been voted best credit union for the past 8 years in a row by CBUS Top Picks. Visit BMIFCU.org. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Always as tender as a well-done steak. This is Rothman and Ice.
All right, welcome back in. Dylan Tyer in the building today. TLC on the board. Tyler Danberg on the update desk. Full crew in the house today. Bottom of the hour, we'll talk all things NFL with Brendan Deeg from The Score. A lot happening. TLC, any feel on in the YouTube chat maybe how some Browns or Bengal fans are feeling about some of the decisions that have been made today?
Oh, I can tell you from texting buddies that they have been done with Zach, primarily Duke Tobin.
Yeah, that's,
but
yeah.
Zach Taylor is more, like, they're not thrilled with him, but Duke Tobin is the real culprit over there.
Yeah,
I can tell you that from just texting.
I can understand that for sure. I can understand. Yeah, if you're in the YouTube chat, you know, let us know. Let TLC know if you're a Browns or Bengal fan, how you're feeling. We'd love to hear from you because these are some wild days, man, and it's just crazy how certain franchises can directly right out of the gate get it right, like your team, and we'll see how long that lasts, but there's just that feel that, okay, there's some structure here, or there's just certain teams that can search for so long, whether it's head coach or quarterback like the Browns, that just have you in this gray area of the NFL and just not really a relevant team. And so, yeah, I if I were a Browns fan, I would want this change, right? I would want to feel refreshed and try again, because that's all you can do is just keep swinging, especially at the quarterback position. But yeah, let me know, TLC, or let us know if there's anybody in the chat right now sharing their opinion about their Bengals or their Browns.
Well, one Bengals fan actually wants Kevin Stefanski as the Bengals OC.
That ain't going to work.
I think Stefanski's going to get another job.
Yeah, Kevin Stefanski's going to get a head coaching job, and I saw somebody in the chat earlier say, you know, not so fast on Stefanski. What has he done to earn himself another job? Well, I mean, he's a two-time NFL Coach of the Year. He's won a playoff game with the Cleveland Browns, made the playoffs twice in Cleveland, was there for 6 years. Not many people can say that about being the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. I mean,
and I agree with you. I agree with you, Dylan. And I think you also got to add a little bit more context to that statement. And I think sometimes we do this in sports where we just kind of put the sticker of, hey, this is his overall record. He's not a good coach. There's more to it. I think you got to dig a little bit deeper than that. And I always say, like, what head coach would succeed at a high level in Cleveland with what's been going on, honestly? And when you don't have a guy at quarterback that is going to provide you a safe floor week in and week out, and you're calling Joe Flacco to come off the couch to save your season, like, that's not competence. That's not good balance. That's not good structure. That's not how things should run. And so I would be easy with that if I were a Browns fan just a little bit, because I think if this guy does go somewhere and there is good playmakers available to him and a quarterback that's not going to screw things up. I mean, think about what the dude went through with Jameis, right? Like, I love Jameis Winston, but that's going to drive you nuts as a head coach to know that you can dial things up and this guy is going to hurt us as a team because he's going to turn the ball over time and time again. Or this year, when you're dealing with a smaller quarterback in Dylan Gabriel, who's a rookie, and another rookie quarterback in Shador Sanders, who isn't fleet of foot, and, you know, if he doesn't have time, can't really hurt you as a defense, you're going to be held back just a little bit. So I think there just has to be a balance of both when we talk about these things and shine a light on the positives and the negatives. And I think that we get lost in that sometimes and just kind of always just go to, hey, well, his record stinks, and so he is not a head coach. I don't like to go about things that way.
By the way, if you think you want Kevin Stefanski to be the offensive coordinator for the Cincinnati Bengals, you might as well just say, hey, we're hiring the head coach in waiting of the Cincinnati Bengals, right? Because, come on, Taylor's an offensive mind, right?
Yes, like,
that's, you're hiring the same thing. That's pointless.
He's not just an offensive mind. He was Sean McVay's quarterback's coach.
Remember that Sean McVay coaching tree for a minute?
Part of that tree, baby.
How hot that was for a minute. Anybody else in the chat popping off about the Browns or Bengals?
Yeah, Ace Wheeler, who says he's a Buccaneers fan, says he wants either Stefanski or Mike McCarthy.
That could be fun. I don't mind that.
Okay.
Todd Bowles has a very, very, very low approval rating in Tampa right now, just in case you didn't know.
Yeah.
So
I think they're keeping him.
But
I really hope they don't.
It's 1 p.m. right now, and we got, what, 5 or 6 other openings? And so, if we haven't heard it yet,
that would be a little knee-jerkish to me, based off of them getting the postseason last 2 years.
I don't know. I just think the way that collapsed this year. Yeah, they collapsed horribly. The way that he manages games is not great. I mean, did you see that? Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was in Tampa Bay, right, that he just kind of said, enough with the kickoffs, we're just going to kick the ball through the end zone because he couldn't figure out what to do with the kickoff. I mean, come on.
You guys are right to bring up the collapse. They got it in order last game of the year, right?
Also, they had Liam Cohen walk out of that building. That's tough.
That's tough, right, because he looks promising for sure and where he is right now. But, yeah, that's an interesting one with Todd Bowles, because I just think he's a defensive guy, right? He's no doubt a defensive guy. They didn't have Godwin at full health. They didn't have Evans for a while. And so, look, I understand what you guys are saying, but I wouldn't be mad at giving Todd Bowles another crack at it, because I've seen him do some good things with that unit.
So here's the list here's the losing streak that basically killed the Buccaneers this year. It starts off excusable, but then becomes inexcusable. It starts off Patriots, Bills, Rams. So playoff team, playoff team, playoff team. And I think the Rams are going to the Super Bowl, so I think very highly of them. And then it turns into Saints, Falcons, Panthers, Dolphins. So we go from tough 3-game losing streak, and then they kill that with a win over the Cardinals, who just fired their coach. And then it's 4 games of losing to the Saints, Falcons, Panthers, Dolphins.
Baked into that, though,
your season.
That's not all Todd Bowles to me. Baked into that is Baker started to play some bad ball at the time in some of those losses that you're talking about.
He was hurt.
I'm just saying, Baker's productivity wasn't good. Yeah. It wasn't good. And so I can't point to Todd Bowles as the reason why they lost those games when your quarterback, who's been pretty good for them in Tampa Bay, found a window of time to not play his best ball either.
I'll say this too, because you were, you know, making fun of me because I was watching Evan and Tiki on WFAN up in New York. Tiki Barber has been, because the Giants have kind of been thinking about who's going to be our head coach for half the season, because they fired Brian Daboll midseason. And so Tiki Barber has kind of been singing the praises of Kevin Stefanski, saying like he's going to get another job. He'd be great here. So the Kevin Stefanski approval rating outside of Northeast Ohio and a little bit of Central Ohio is actually quite positive.
I see the vision there. I see the vision there for sure, because we mentioned earlier the weapons that are there. They got some dudes on defense too, that defensive line that they have. You find yourself a defensive coordinator that can coach those guys up. Then you may be in the mix sooner rather than later. You just brought up the Giants. The draft order starting to come together just a little bit after the regular season concluded yesterday. First on the board will be the Las Vegas Raiders. Rest of your top five is the New York Jets. The Arizona Cardinals will be picking at 3, Tennessee Titans at 4, and then the aforementioned New York Giants at 5. Right after the Giants will be the Cleveland Browns.
Wait a minute. Where are we at?
Aforementioned.
By the way, did you see that Jim Nance and Tony Romo had a big word alert during the game?
No, I did not see that.
So Jim Nance dropped an esoteric, and Tony Romo could not stop talking about it.
Esoteric. Okay, I got to get that in the bag. I got to get that in the bag, fellas. But the Browns at 6. And then you got the Cincinnati Bengals rounding out the top 10. So between the Browns at 6 and the Bengals at 10, it'll be Washington, New Orleans, and the Kansas City Chiefs at 9. And if you're the Chiefs, you can afford this type of year. You can afford this type of year. You got so much built up in the bank, Super Bowls and all of that stuff. You get in these windows, right? This is this is found money in the couch right now for the Kansas City Chiefs, because never in their wildest dreams did they think they would be picking in the top 10 when you have Mahomes, Reed, and that crew. And so if I'm a Chiefs fan, this is a one-off. Didn't like going 6-11. Totally understand that. But I'm good with where we're at right now, picking in the top 10.
I don't know, man. I feel like they have some underlying issues there in Kansas City. I'm not sure one first-round pick is enough to solve some of those. I feel like there's going to be a lot of pressure on whoever this player is to be like, this is the magic fix for this coming season with the Kansas City Chiefs.
But it's your chance, right, with Mahomes and that crew to get a premier talent, and
no
usually because you're usually picking 25th to 30th is their window,
no
right?
Doubt. But
and
they've been pretty good at
32nd.
No. Xavier Worthy, George Karloftis, Trent McDuffie, they're actually pretty good drafting that late.
And that's what I'm saying. Now them picking this high to me is scary as a non-Chiefs fan, that you're giving them a swing at a guy that could be a top 10 right now type of talent, because they're not used to drafting in that ballpark. But Vegas picking number one. Fernando Mendoza, come on down.
I guess I just
think it's got that written all over it.
Quite the Vegas fit, Fernando Mendoza, huh?
You know what? It actually is.
Yep.
He is the perfect type of guy for Vegas, because he just, to me, doesn't seem like he's going to get caught up in any of the nonsense out there. So perfect. I actually think Mendoza is the perfect fit for the Raiders.
I was being facetious there, but with the underlying seriousness of this is probably the ideal guy for that scenario. Yeah,
no doubt. I think the Raiders should draft Diego Pavia.
No.
Send him to Vegas. No.
I want him to back up Fernando Mendoza. Yeah. My two locations, back up Fernando Mendoza in Vegas or back up Jackson Dart in New York. I feel like either one of those would be tons of fun.
Send him to the Jets. Put Pavia with Scatterball as like, you know, Dart's backup quarterback. Like, could you imagine?
Or you could just add him to the Browns mix too. Just another piece of the puzzle in Cleveland.
He's getting drafted.
Oh, man.
You think he will?
Somewhere. I mean, late. He's really short, so, you know, the height bias that works against quarterbacks.
He's short, he's old, but he's got that kind of winning pedigree and dog mentality.
Fifth or later.
Gotta be probably
somewhere in that window.
And probably a career inactive third stringer who's only there if both quarterbacks get hurt.
You know, we mentioned the Colts earlier, and tough for them right now, right? Because you were rolling for a little bit. They were feeling so good about themselves. They said, you know what? Let's send 2 first-round picks over to the Jets facility. That's not looking too good right now. Because where are they going at quarterback right now? You don't have first-round picks for the next couple years. Like that's a tough, tough thing for them, because they were really relying on the health of Daniel Jones. And more importantly, they'll still have Sauce Gardner on defense, who's a really good player. But now you just have a glaring hole at the quarterback position. So the Colts are now in a tough spot. Where earlier on in the season, it looked like the outlook for them was looking really good.
Yeah, it's going to come down to what happens with the quarterback, right? Because if Daniel Jones is back there and he repeats what he was able to do, then you're like, okay, so what? We're in a pretty good situation. If not, it looks bleak for Indianapolis. And it starts to look a little bit better for the Jets. I understand that they're the Jets, but if the Colts go downhill, the Jets are going to be smiling, skipping away, very happy.
No question. Speaking of things happening over in Indiana, if you think this Hoosier situation is just a flash in the pan, I think Kirk Cignetti over the weekend said, hold up, player, we ain't going anywhere. We'll talk about it next. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
The best thing about watching football this weekend, talking football on Reaction Monday.
Sponsored by the Roofing Guys.
The Fan.
This weekend.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose, so you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, or player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet just $5. It's the only betting app I use. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In-app only.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
Hello. Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In app only.
Love football, love wings. Put those bad boys together and you get Austin and Bird live at Roosters.
Presented by Bryant Heating and Cooling.
Large amounts of football and all the ducky sauce you can handle. Mondays on the Fan's YouTube channel. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Mostly sunny skies for us today to kick off the week, with daytime highs getting up into the mid to upper 40s. For tonight, a little bit milder with lows right around freezing and mostly cloudy skies. And then for Tuesday, chances of rain are back into the forecast. Otherwise, skies will be cloudy and mild with breezy winds and highs in the low 50s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Bet365, the official online sports book of Rothman and Ice. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Dog friendly. And if you ain't down with that,
we are three words for you.
This is Rothman and Ice.
So the transfer portal in college football right now has been crazy active over the last few days. Getting ready for the college football playoff. These coaches are still grinding. Oregon and Indiana, they will get it going on Friday night down there at the Peach Bowl. Then Thursday out there in the desert at the Fiesta Bowl, we'll get Ole Miss at Miami. Spreads pretty close on both those games right now. Miami favored by 3.5 over Ole Miss. Indiana favored by 4 over Oregon. And so I cannot wait to see what that looks like, especially with Oregon and Indiana getting after each other now for a second time. That should be a fun one, man. Indiana right now is just rolling.
I'm really excited. I'm excited for both the games, but I'm really excited to see how Oregon handles Indiana in the second matchup. It's cliche to say it, but it's very hard to beat a team twice in a season, right? And I know Indiana went into their house and handled business. I'll be very curious to see how Oregon comes out this time. That Oregon D, I get it's Texas Tech and they're not the same beast that Indiana is, but that Oregon D looked very, very good in their first game. And we'll see if I think the offense will have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder after not doing much in that game against Texas Tech. They didn't have to do much in that game against Texas Tech, but it's a big one for Dante Moore, right?
No question. Speaking of Dante Moore, it's going to be fascinating to see what his decision is when it comes to either staying or going, right, and going to the NFL. I think you're probably at a point, if you're Dante Moore, to where you're probably being told you're probably going to be QB2, man. After Mendoza, you're probably QB2, and that's hard to pass up, especially when you look around the corner to next year, and there's Julian Sand and Arch Manning and some other guys that have now come back for another year around college football. I think if you're being told that when you get done with your season, whatever that looks like for Oregon the rest of the way, you got to go.
Well, especially, you know, it's these next couple of games, however many more games he has, will be big to put on tape against the best teams in college football.
I know we weren't trying to have this discussion. I actually have sound on this exact topic, if you would like.
Yeah, spin it. Absolutely.
Todd McShay, go ahead.
Would you or would you not, as the representation or the representative for Dante Moore, kind of reach out to the Raiders and say, hey, my client's trying to make a decision. We can live with going to 30 of the 32 teams. Maybe it's 31. I can't allow him to go to the New York Jets. And I realize in 2027, maybe he's the seventh pick or the fifth pick, or yeah, or maybe he's the first overall pick and the Jets have all that ammo and they can get him there. But I can't allow him to just... He's got an opportunity to go back to Oregon, probably make the same amount of money that he's going to make in his rookie contract. Phil Knight will make that happen. So I can allow my client to go back to Oregon and have another season with a new offensive coordinator because Will Stein's going to Kentucky, or you can pretty much promise me that he's going to be the number one overall pick.
Did you go that far out of your way to avoid one team?
And who's to say the Jets won't be in line to pick him next year either?
Exactly.
You know, because it doesn't look like they're going to be a very good team this year either. And so I'm not going to sit here and act like I know how all that stuff works behind the scenes of, hey, I want my guy to go here, and this the power plays that have to be, especially when you're trying to tell billionaires what and what not to do. I think that's a very dicey game when it comes to selecting these guys. I hear what he's saying, though, about the financials and what these guys can make. Brendan Sorsby, the quarterback that was at Cincinnati that just committed to Texas Tech over the weekend, reports out there, and that's all it is, that Texas Tech signed him for $5 million. Mm. And so, yeah, I could see how guys could look around and saying, hey, I'm going to come back. Financially, I'm comfortable. I love my head coach, yada, 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 all those things. We know Uncle Phil, he's not messing around with cutting checks out there. But I just think there's a lot of things, DT, that just have to happen for you to avoid a team in the NFL. And that's a major power play that I don't really know if you're not, let's say, even like, can Arch Manning even do that? I don't know how it works, man. I hear what he's saying, but I don't know if I fully agree.
Well, it goes without saying, but do we even know that the Jets want to take a quarterback this year, or are they going to go about it smart because they've got all these picks? You could set up a foundation for a guy that's coming in. You just brought up the potential quarterback class next year. Maybe they prefer one of those guys, and they say, all right, let's use the draft capital we have right now. We, of course, have those Colts picks going forward. If we really had to, we could trade for the number one overall pick and draft a guy, like say it is Arch Manning next year. You know, just a thought from me there, but...
I don't think you can bank on that, though.
No, of course not.
Because this year was supposed to be Klubnik and Sam Levitt and Garrett Nussmeier and Carson Beck. Well, I mean, he doesn't have a choice because he's been in college so long, so I guess he has to come out. But this year has really given me some pause on just banking on future quarterback classes. Because, like, out of all the and Lenora Sellers, we thought there were going to be six first-round quarterbacks, and we have two, and the two that we have weren't even the two we were expecting.
And 2 years ago, that was the class that you're looking around and saying, you know, with May and Nix and Jaden Daniels. Like, it's rare that we have three to four to even five guys at that position every single draft cycle that are hits, right? And to me, like, a hit is a double. You hit a double at the quarterback position, I'm good with that as a fan of any team. But I think to TLC's point, I think it is fair to maybe have some pause because we were being sold last off season that this class that we just watched this whole football season, these were supposed to be dudes. It did not turn out that way. So I think if you're Dante Moore, I'm going to the league. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to the league. I'm not taking the chance of getting injured or anything like that, especially when you're going to be a top two, maybe even look. And then maybe in the eyes of the Raiders, maybe they like Dante Moore more than Fernando Mendoza. You never know.
Well, that's kind of where the root of my thinking begins, to be honest with you, in that these two guys right now weren't the guys at the beginning of the process. So are they really the guys, or are they just the two best quarterbacks that we're seeing coming out of college football right now? You know, I think kind of the consensus here is everybody after these top couple of picks where they project the quarterbacks to go is going to be coming away nicely from the draft because you're going to get a top pass rusher. You're going to get a great offensive lineman or a great wide receiver that, you know, the picks 3 to 6 to 3 to 10, that's where you're going to find these big hits, or you're going to walk away feeling like it was a boon because all these quarterback needy teams took these guys instead of the best players available. So that's just my thinking right there. Not to say that Mendoza or Moore doesn't work out in the NFL. Just a thought.
No, I hear you, brother. I absolutely hear you. Hey, quick nugget before we mention Indiana and some of the things that they've done, because things are kind of popping off for Ohio State when it comes to the transfer portal at the moment. So it looks like Tegra Shabola has entered the transfer portal. Mylon Graham has entered the transfer portal and TLC just passing this along that CJ Hicks is following Hartline down to USF. So he will be a part of the South Florida program. We're going to have Jeremy Birmingham on at 2:30 to talk about all of this stuff. And so he'll have a great breakdown of where the roster is and maybe some needs that they have and maybe where they should go shopping via the portal. They did bring in a tight end over the weekend from Ohio U and Mason, let me get his name right. Mason Williams is the tight end. That'll be a Buckeye for you. So a lot happening right now, especially when it comes to CJ Hicks, DT, not surprised where you have guys from one program go to another when they know the coach well. Even though he's a defensive guy, I'm sure he's spent enough time around Hartline to believe in his vision and what he can do down there in South Florida.
Yeah, and this is part of the reason that I'm excited to be able to talk to Berm and have Jeremy Birmingham on. You know, as an Ohio State fan, you see some of this exodus and you're like, oh man, what are the Buckeyes going to do? This is a little bit more talent than I expected to leave this season. Yeah. But I guess this day and age, that is to be expected now. So it's all about filling in those gaps,
oh, yeah,
right? And where does Ohio State go? And, you know, that's why I want to talk to Berm, see what sort of insight he has. But Indiana, that's a reason this team has been so successful is, for whatever reason, Sig has been a beast in the transfer portal.
He's on fire. You mentioned Berm, folks. If you're not going to be able to join us at 2:30, don't worry. You can always catch up later on throughout your day wherever you get your podcast. All you have to do is type in Rothman and Ice. So Cignetti and the crew, they're getting ready. They're in the semis, as we all know, for Oregon. But, man, the man has not stopped grinding because over the weekend, they made some big-time moves, some guys coming out of the portal. Quarterback Josh Hoover from TCU, he will now be their quarterback next year after Mendoza. Wide receiver Nick Marsh, he was at Michigan State, young playmaker for the Spartans over the last couple of years. Looks very promising. And then they get a running back in Turbo Richard from Boston College who has been around for the last couple of years and been productive over there on the East Coast. What's been very impressive about what he's done is now this is now another swing at the quarterback position in the portal. Curtis Rourke, Fernando Mendoza, you go to OU for your first guy, you go to Cal for your second guy. Now you're going to TCU to find your third guy, and Hoover was second in the Big 12 in passing yards this year. So you got to trust this guy if you're an Indiana fan. Clearly he has an eye for the most important position. He's building his program out in the early years via the portal. And I think that's kind of smart because that is the right now talent you can get. So between Hoover and Nick Marsh, DT, I'm impressed with what Sir Kurt Cignetti did this weekend.
It's kind of unprecedented, right? Because it's like he brings in all this transfer talent and they're a college playoff team. He brings in more talent. They're the number one team in the country and the favorite to win the national championship. Yep. That's in a matter of 2 years. Can we say anybody else has done anything like that? Everybody else has been a legacy program for the most part. I know you have guys transfer in. The U is back with Carson Beck, et cetera, but he transfers in. A lot of these other schools are just legacy programs. Yeah. So it's very interesting to see Indiana do this, and I'll be curious to see how Kurt Cignetti builds them in the future. Is this a thing that they just do year over year over year and compete every year, or does it get them further into national relevancy and they're able to recruit long term, start to bring in some more of those big names, the four stars, the five stars, because they have that national name brand and recognition now?
They've got the financial backing with the moves that they're making in the portal. To your point, the run or runs that he's gone on the last couple of years, these guys, especially now, I think in the high school ranks, will start taking to that. Because you got to think, like, these guys, these kids that are in high school right now have no clue about, like, Indiana football. Like, no, that's not a thing at all. And so, yeah, I mean, this guy is he's rocking and rolling. So some big time competition in the Big Ten for sure for Coach Day and all these other head coaches around the conference, because it doesn't seem like Cignetti is going anywhere anytime soon. Coming up in 2 minutes, bottom of the hour, busy day around the NFL. Brendan Deeg from The Score will join us next. It's Rothman and Ice.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In app only.
Benefits.
Rossman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Hitting a hole in one into your ear hole.
Ew.
This is Rossman and Ice.
Welcome back in. Black Monday around the NFL is off and running. And we're going to bring on our guy, Brendan Deeg. Does an awesome job covering the NFL over at The Score to talk about it all right now via the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Brendan, happy holidays. Happy Black Monday. Happy playoff season. All that good stuff, man. How you feeling?
I'm doing well, man. Busy Black Monday at the news desk here at The Score. Most of the firings are kind of what we thought, but we're waiting to see if maybe a surprise one comes down before the end of the day.
Appreciate your time. Let's start up in Cleveland. Do you like the decision to get rid of Kevin Stefanski and keep Andrew Berry, or would you have completely cleaned house if you were running the show up there in the land?
I would have hit the red button and cleaned house. They came in together in 2020. They both signed extensions together in 2024. I'm a fan of kind of what like the Falcons did. Now, I'm not a fan of how the Falcons have run their organization over the last 8 years, but when you hire a general manager and head coach together, I like kind of the cohesion of like they stay together, they succeed together, they fail together. I don't really love kind of giving a general manager multiple head coaching hires if the general manager is part of the problem, and I think Andrew Berry is part of the problem. Did you guys listen to Jimmy Haslam's press conference today
We played a couple clips. What did you think? What was your reaction?
I watched most of it, and there was one where he's kind of ranting for about 3 minutes on why he kept Andrew Berry. It was like a 3 to 4 minute rant, and he's basically talking about the draft. Like, this draft class was good, which he's not wrong. The Cleveland Browns did have a solid draft class. Dylan Gabriel pick was obviously not that good. Two of the players were running backs that they got. They got Carson Schwessinger. He's going to do like all pro season. Like, they got good players and they got the trade down. But like, he went on this rant about Andre Schmidt, like being the best kicker. And like, he went on like a 130 rant about how it's like solving the place kicker issue. He went on about the Tyson Campbell signing. He said like the Malik Collins signing was like a franchise changer. It was just weird. Those moves that he's talking about, like, shouldn't keep your job. Now, I know a lot of people are like hyping on Andrew Berry. Like, he made the Deshaun Watson trade. Now, that's an ownership move, in my opinion, right? Like, ownership has to okay that trade. Ownership has to okay that contract. But Andrew Berry was obviously involved in it. And for all the reporting, kind of sounds like Kevin Stefanski wasn't a huge fan of it. So I just, like, this was an easy opportunity to clean house, rip off the Band-Aid on both sides. And I just felt like they kind of missed an opportunity here. And I don't think Andrew Berry's done enough to hold on the job. But the biggest problem with Cleveland is the ownership. Like, you guys know, every Cleveland fan knows this. Like, the Haslam family, their third worst winning percentage since they bought the team in the NFL. This is an ownership issue that's not going to go away to sell the team.
Brendan, speaking of ownership, we've got lots of discourse in our YouTube chat right now. Lots of conversation about the Brown family and the Bengals and Duke Tobin, Zach Taylor. They're running things back there. What do you think they should have done? Does it surprise you that they haven't made any moves in Cincinnati?
No, it didn't surprise me because all the reporting coming out of it, like over the last few days, we've been kind of following it, like where the tea leaves are going, and everyone was saying Zach Taylor was going to be back. Mike Brown didn't waste any time jumping on it today, releasing a statement. It almost might come down to money. Like, Zach Taylor's under contract for 2026. Like, Mike Brown is notoriously cheap. Probably just doesn't want to pay a head coach to not coach his team, right? Like, I am assuming that has something to do with it. I'm of the belief, like, a three-year no-playoff run in the NFL should get you fired. Zach Taylor's not made the playoffs in three straight seasons. Now, the defense is to blame for that. Like, if you look over the last three seasons, when I did the Zach Taylor research and article for The Score today, over the last 3 years, they rank 29th in total EPA and 32nd in yards per game over the last three seasons on defense. Now, the problem is Zach Taylor already played his defensive coordinator card. He already fired Lou Anarumo. Usually a head coach gets kind of one chance to like fire a defensive coordinator and hire a new one. And under Al Golden this year, they were 30th in points per contest. And you can make the argument, like, a lot of those numbers are also inflated because of the last three games where they played Miami, Cleveland, and Arizona. So, like, this was the worst defense in the league through 15 weeks. The management of like Shamar Stewart's contract throughout the beginning in the offseason, the mismanagement of Trey Hendrickson, like, they've done such a poor job drafting on defense with none of the top three draft rounds, like, defensive selections they made over the last few years have really panned out at all. They needed an influx of youth, of young talent on the defense with how expensive the offense is, and they just haven't been able to do that. I know Joe Burrow's health also has a lot to do with their not making the playoffs over the last few years, but I think they should have moved on. But like, one thing I guess you guys would have maybe have a better grip on is, like, Do you guys think Joe Burrow is a big reason why he's staying? Like, there was reporting from Diane Racine from The Athletic saying that Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and T. Higgins have kind of backed Zach Taylor up throughout the organization. I just have a hard time buying it. Like, I don't know. The one thing I don't have a good read on is, like, how much is this Joe Burrow's decision more, or, like, Joe Burrow pushing the organization to keep Zach Taylor, or more just ownership wanting to keep him back. So that's something I just don't have a great read on.
Yeah, there were some reports, too, coming from some local people down there that Burrow is in on Zach Taylor and some of the offensive staff. And so I think when you're ownership, right, and you look at that side of the ball the last few years, you can't really take issue from what you've seen there. When Burrow's been healthy, that unit's been pretty strong. So, yeah, I'm just very curious what they do on defense, as you mentioned. The draft stuff, we talked about it earlier. They got to get that stuff in order, and there's a real belief that Al Golden is your best defensive coordinator. So, yeah, some moving pieces for sure to watch, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you throughout the offseason about it when they do make changes. I want to go back to Stefanski and ask you this, Brendan. If you're Stefanski and you look at some of these openings right now, and it's, I think Racine did report today that he wants to get right back into the mix, which job would you want if you were Kevin?
This is crazy. I think the Titans is the best opening. Mm. I was going through all the openings right now. Like, I know the Titans roster is probably, the Raiders roster is probably the worst. The Titans are probably a close second, but the Titans have the highest, they have the most cap space ending in 2026, over $120 million of free space. You're basically getting a clean slate. And you have the quarterback. Like, I thought Cam Ward, with what he had around him, looked really good, especially down the stretch. I think they got their guy. I think they have, you have a young quarterback to develop if you're Kevin Stefanski. You have a kind of a clean slate with roster decisions. I'm assuming you'd be kind of have a lot of say in that organization. So the opening jobs are not great. Like, this isn't like other years where there's like one or two easy openings where you can go like, this is the best job. This is the best job. The Bengals would have been the best job if it came open. It did not. And I think the Titans, looking at it from an outside, I think it probably is the best one. I think the Giants, like, the problem with the Giants is, like, you get Joe Shane, and Joe Shane has been a mess there. The fact that they're keeping Joe Shane as general manager, to me, is insane. He was more responsible for the organization's downfall, in my opinion, than Brian Daboll was, and they're holding on to him. So you have to kind of work hand-in-hand with Joe Shane. I don't love that partnership if I'm a head coach. So I know it sounds crazy, but I think the Titans are the best job. I'm Stefanski. That's the one I want. The Titans have already kind of got off and running with their head coaching search. They already have interviews with Matt Nagy. Lou Anarumo was another one. They've have a few other ones, so they're already starting. I haven't seen Kevin Stefanski's name pop up, but I'm assuming they will interview him. So, yeah, to answer your question, I think the Titans is the best job. It might sound crazy, but like you said, the openings right now aren't great, and I think the Titans kind of stands out with the cap space and the quarterback there.
Brendan, I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about the opening round of the NFL playoffs. Which of these six matchups intrigues you the most? There are some very interesting games, I think, particularly on the AFC side, but is there one that stands out to you is one that, hey, this could make or break a team for the remainder of the playoffs?
The best one is Jaguars-Bills, in my opinion, 1 o'clock Sunday. I think that's the best game. I wish that was the night game. I don't love how that was the opening game on Sunday, but I think there are two games on Sunday, like back-to-back. Like, you have Jags-Bills, and then you have Eagles-49ers kind of back-to-back there. I think both those games are probably stand out to me. The Jags, just like down the stretch, have been unbelievable. It's just like since the Jacoby Myers trade, like dropping him on that offense has completely changed everything for them. Trevor Lawrence is like almost like he'll be like top five in MVP voting for how well he's played down the stretch. Liam Cohen brings his team from 4-13 to 13-4, win the division. They're such a cool story. And then the Buffalo Bills, like, this is the year. Like, Josh Allen doesn't have Mahomes. He doesn't have Lamar Jackson. He doesn't have Joe Burrow in the playoffs. If there's ever your best chance to win it, it's now. But you get the Jaguars, which is a really tough matchup for Buffalo. You're almost, in my opinion, like, better off like getting the 7th seed. Like, I would have rather played the Patriots if I was the Bills than the Jags, just how well the Jags are playing. So to me, that's the easiest, like, just matchup to be looked forward to is that one. I think those two teams are really damn good. And I think you can make the argument that the winner of that game wins the AFC. Like, those two are maybe the three best teams in the conference.
Real quick, in 30 seconds, give me your thoughts on Baltimore and maybe some changes that need to happen there. You keeping Harbaugh and Lamar together again?
Well, I have a feeling Harbaugh's going to get fired either by today or by the end of today or tomorrow. There's already rumblings around it. A lot of the shows reporting that Schefter was doing on ESPN and around the league is like saying right now that it's up in the air right now with John Harbaugh. And I think that loss, like, I think you, of course, you can blame Ty Lue for missing that field goal, but that defense on the stretch was awful. Is that the Zach Orr hiring around him? Like, one of the Harbaugh's like superpowers is like finding good coordinators around him, and this version of it just hasn't worked out. He needs the coordinators to succeed if he's going to be a CEO style head coach. And he's just, I don't love the staff. I don't love the product that they're putting out there. Like, they went 8-9 this year. They didn't beat, like, Lamar Jackson, the only 500 above team he beat when they started was the Minnesota Vikings, finishing at 9-8. This was a failed season from top to bottom. It was just from like week one, blowing that game against the Bills, to week 18, blowing that game against the Steelers. Like, it was just a stink from top to bottom. And I do think they move on. I think this next, they have to kind of move on to the next version, next era of Lamar Jackson as a quarterback, not being like the full athlete and rusher that he can be, and kind of build more of a pocket passing, better offensive line around him kind of style offense. And I don't think John Harbaugh can bring that. I think they need to bring an offensive mind surrounding him. So, yeah, sure. I guess to answer your question, I do think that they are going to move on from him, and I think they should.
That'll be an interesting one, that's for sure. He's Brendan Deague from The Score, does an awesome job covering the NFL. Appreciate you on a busy day, man. Get back to the grind, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah. You guys are the best, man. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Appreciate it. You too. Brendan Deague joined us via the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Coming up next in our Buckeye Bulletin, a lot of portal action right now happening for Ohio State. Adam King will stop by to talk about it all. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
Unlike your deadbeat uncle, we'll never leave you stranded in a ditch when you were six. This promo may have been a touch too specific. The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose, so you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, or player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet just $5. It's the only betting app I use. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In-app only.
The best words to hear at the TSA security checkpoint? You're good to go. All it takes is a little preparation. Get to the airport early. Bring a carry-on bag that fits in the overhead. And have an acceptable ID. Not all state-issued IDs will cut it. Check out tsa.gov/ID and see which TSA acceptable IDs make the grade, like a real ID or passport.
Before you jet, do a little prep, and you're good to go. Check out tsa.gov/ID or the MyTSA app.
Get ready for the Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In app only.
Rothman and Ice every Thursday at 2:30 for Gold Jacket Thursday.
Presented by the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
A new Hall of Famer joins the show every week. But not OJ, because he's dead and probably a murderer. The Fan.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Cosby Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Rothman and Ice present Buckeye Bulletin.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Buy four windows, get four free from windownation.com.
Welcome back in, folks. Dylan Tyer in the house today for AR. And look who stopped by. The man that sits on the Iron Throne over at 10TV, the one and only Adam King, AK, in the building. AK, Happy New Year, man. What's going on?
Hey, happy new
year. You know what? You got to turn on the mic.
Talk? You're going to let me
That's
talk.
That's on me. That's on me.
Come on.
That's
now.
On me. My bad. Party foul.
You know
bad.
What? You
my
know
bad.
What? That felt personal.
Oh, you won.
Happy New Year.
Yeah.
I apologize. I got my voice back, so that's concerning.
You sound a lot better.
Everybody in Central Ohio is rolling their eyes right now.
Word on the street is you got a shot down there? How'd you recover?
You know, I did get a shot. I will say it was the most painful thing I've ever experienced.
Really?
Because they shoot it right into your muscle. And, like, I couldn't move my leg. Funny story about that. I went out to the doctor, and I was like, hey, is it supposed to be, like, that you can't move your leg? It hurts so bad. She goes, no. And she freaked out. She's like, what's going on? She's like, you were just here because you lost your voice. And then the other nurse that actually gave me the shot's like, well, I gave him a shot. And she's like, oh, I didn't know you already. She thought that my I had two symptoms, that my leg had shut down and that I no longer had a voice. And she was ready to call the squad. So,
well, it's good to see you, man. It's good to see you. Got Dylan in the building. Dylan, go ahead, man. What do you got for AK? You can ask him anything, literally.
Well, AMA. I was going to ask you how you enjoyed yourself down in Texas outside of the game, but I knew you had had the voice troubles. I didn't know you had completely lost the voice and gone through all of this. But otherwise, how was the trip down there?
It was a great trip. The Cotton Bowl does it right. It was great until it wasn't. And then it was real bad. Then it was awful. Yeah. Then it was better for about a third quarter. And then it was bad again. Mm-hmm. Pretty terrible.
Yeah.
Where does Jerry's World rank for you among venues that you've been to?
I'll never go back to Jerry's World.
Hmm.
I've covered two Cotton Bowls, the Missouri and the Miami one. I'm never going back. I'm out on Jerry's
games
World.
On New Year's Eve right now for Ohio State. I'm out games on the Cotton Bowl.
I'm out on Jerry's World. Jack's play was great. I'm out on Jerry's World.
I saw a video that you tweeted out.
Yeah.
And it was a conversation you were having with Sonny Styles.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people like that video because Sonny's been homegrown talent,
yeah.
Cool story from safety to linebacker, looking like he's got a real chance to be a first-round pick here in a couple months. Just talk about talking to Sonny after the game and just kind of what you took away from that convo.
Sonny is a really, and not to make this, it's like a sidebar here, Sonny was an athlete of the week when I got here at Pickerington Central. So he was, I covered him in high school. I sat down with him to do a story on him, and that's how we got close. And so he's one of the first guys that I've ever covered in my Ohio State career where you saw him really just develop the whole way. And it is, it's very sad. It you're excited to go see him at the next level. I think Sonny Styles is going to be one of those guys. I think he could have, this is obviously a dramatization of it, but a Cam Hayward-esque career where 10 years from now, you're like, man, Sonny's still in the league and he's still killing it. And that was probably one of the hardest. They bring him up on golf carts into the media room there, and he wasn't a part of the initial group. So when they brought him up, I thought, man, this is going to be our last interview with Sonny as a Buckeye, and that's crazy. And Buckeye Nation, the one thing that I do love is that they know how important Sonny Styles is to this program. I commented on there that. He's one of the greatest, got one of the greatest Buckeye legacies of all time. And someone said, one of the greatest? Well, he's a national champion. He grew up in Columbus. He went on to wear the Blocko and be a captain of this team. He got his gold pants in his senior season. Sonny Styles carries just a legacy that's really, really hard to match.
Adam, where do you think Ohio State goes from here? Let's just rip the Band-Aid, because obviously it's a frustrating loss for Ohio State. People are talking about, hey, maybe the identity of this offense needs to change because they played so slow in that game, they couldn't dial it up. Now you're seeing an exodus of some top talent at Ohio State. Where do the Buckeyes go from here in your eyes?
I'm going to say something that nobody likes to hear.
Mm. Let's hear it.
Calm down, all right? Okay. Everybody just calm down, okay? The game was 6 days ago, okay? I understand that Mylon Graham is a big name. He wants to be a wide receiver one somewhere. That's Mylon's dream.
CJ Hicks going to USF.
CJ Hicks is going to USF. CJ Hicks was not coming back. That's not a shocker. Mm-hmm. Bryce West and Aaron Scott, that's a little surprising, but those guys didn't get on the field. They see more in Devin Sanchez. Everybody just calm down, all right? The program is going to be fine. Do I think they need to go out there and get an offensive coordinator like a Brian Daboll, which I think we should put big poster board all across Columbus about.
You know something?
I love Brian
Daboll. You know something we don't know?
I think Brian Daboll would be a great hire for this
program.
We
know how the TV people operate. Their opinions are news leaks that were fed to them.
Wasn't it Daboll that was in the Penn State hoodie walking out of his house or something and everybody got all up in arms about that? Was that him?
He is a kid who goes
there. Okay, there it is. Okay, sorry.
I still think there's a long way to go in this search. I do think that Brian Daboll, someone like that, someone who comes in and is the Matt Patricia of the the offense, as Matt Patricia did with the defense. Let Ryan Day be the head coach. Obviously, it's always going to be the Ohio State offense. But I am on record here. I think when all is said and done, the excitement around this team when we get to spring practice will match that of the 2024 season.
So is Ohio State the new Alabama?
That's what I was just about to say. Coaching rehabilitation.
I think that is just everybody just take a deep breath.
Wusa.
Remember
you don't have time to breathe in modern day college football, man.
And over in the Woody, they're not taking a deep breath. They're full bore ahead, but you don't know everything that's going on behind the scenes.
But you do. Is that what you're saying?
No, I don't know.
Fire the gong. wrong.
No. Bam. That's not what I'm saying is you don't know until somebody puts pen to paper where they're going in this transfer portal era.
Fair enough. Hey, before we let you go in our last minute, how did Miami fans treat you after the game? Because I know prior to the game, there was some smack talk on Twitter. You were letting them have it a little bit. How were your mentions after the game?
You know what my voice sounded like after the game?
Yeah.
Go watch a lot of those post-game interviews. It sounds like I'm crying when I'm interviewing the players because I don't have any voice. If you think I was talking smack with Miami fans, I was getting out of there, getting on a plane. Sonny, it's so great. Tell me about your legacy. Yeah, you know that was my voice.
I
gave it all.
You're a grinder. You took a shot for the folks.
I have a question. Last week when you got benched from the Nicole and Tyvis show or whatever that was called, was that mid-show that you got yanked or pre-show that you got yanked?
It was pre-show, and I just want to say it was actually the greatest thing that could have happened. In the moment, I was obviously devastated. They said, you can't go on. You have no voice, and it was bad. And that allowed me to go get the shot and allowed me to get the help I needed to get back for Tuesday. So sometimes, okay, you know, you got to sit on the bench for 5 hours to make sure you're ready for the big show.
AK, it's always good to see you, man.
Hey, it's always good. Where's Rothman? The holidays are over.
Hey, man, Rothman's handling some business, okay? You know, our guy's handling some business. All right. You know, we'll hold it down.
You're not happy
for him
to see me? Like, come on.
No, I'm beyond thrilled to see you. I just don't want...
Warm welcome.
I was hoping that Rothman was gone for good. Is that not accurate?
He'll be back. By the way, DT went in the hair battle today. DT's got a fresh cut. Your hair's looking good, but DT's got the fresh cut.
I told him he looks like a Cali kid in a good way. He's got that fresh cut, doesn't he? Doesn't it
like Calabasas energy right now?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Hidden Hills energy right now.
Hanging out with the Kardashians,
Hey, did you see the videos of Joe Burrow fixing his hair for like 20 minutes in the post-game press conference?
Yes.
Nicole Sheeran texted me and goes, this is Adam King.
Wow, Nicole's throwing shade behind my back.
What you guys do over there? You guys throw shade at us all the time.
Wow.
You TV people look down on us. You know, it's always good when you guys,
face.
You know.
That looked like you.
TV on TV crime. AK, good to see you, as always. We love you. Hey, top of the hour after an update. We will get back into the NFL, the head coach openings around the sport. Which do we think are the best right now? We'll talk about it next. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
All the Ohio State conversation you can handle. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
Your Ohio State flagship station. The Fan.
Hey, it's Anthony Rothman here.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose, so you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, or player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet just $5. It's the only betting app I use. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In-app only.
Home appraisal after we put away our African art and family photos.
Has this happened to you because of race or national origin? Contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. A message from HUD and the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. One day after the NFL regular season, three teams have parted ways with their head coaches. The Browns fired Kevin Stefanski after six seasons, the Raiders dismissed Pete Carroll, and the Cardinals fired Jonathan Gannon. Yesterday, Falcons fired Raheem Morris. College hoops tonight, Ohio State looks to hand number 10 Nebraska its first loss at 6:30 from Value City Arena. Pre-game coverage on The Fan starts at 5:30. Buckeye women's hoops remains 19th in the AP Top 25. They visit Illinois Wednesday at 7. In the transfer portal, Ohio State has added tight end Mason Williams from Ohio and long snapper Dalton Riggs from UCF. 17 Buckeyes are in the portal, including starting right guard Tegra Shibula. According to reports, defensive end CJ Hicks will join Brian Hartline at South Florida. This update sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. Need help recovering from the holidays? Get a holiday loan from BMI Federal Credit Union. BMIFCU.org/holidayloan.
Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for A Deeper Dive.
Sponsored by Low T Center. Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare.
All right, get on in here, folks. Welcome back in. Final hour of the program on a Reaction Monday, or in the NFL right now, a Black Monday, unfortunately, for a few head coaches that have lost their job. Hey, bottom of the hour, you heard our guy Tyler Danberg in his update mention some of the activity in the transfer portal for Ohio State. Jeremy Birmingham will stop by at 2:30 to talk about all of that and a lot more. They just had a graphic up there on ESPN that Tomlin and John Harbaugh, the longest tenured NFL head coaches in the sport right now, 19 years, 18 years for those guys. Pretty wild, man. It's unbelievable. As a Ravens fan, it hasn't even really felt like Harbaugh's been there that long. Just crazy how time flies by so much. But you heard me ask Brendan Deeg earlier about Harbaugh and the Baltimore Ravens. He thinks that they're going to move on from Harbaugh. And so what do you think is going to happen in Baltimore from the outside looking in and not having an emotional attachment like I do?
So from the outside looking in, I view the Baltimore Ravens as very similar to the Pittsburgh Steelers in that if Pittsburgh had lost that game, I think they should move on from Mike Tomlin. I still kind of think they should move on from Mike Tomlin and modernize themselves a little bit. Harbaugh has done a lot of good stuff with the Baltimore Ravens. Like, they are relevant every single season. How much a part of that is Lamar Jackson and kind of the lottery ticket they took in drafting him and it working out, right? Because people were talking about Lamar Jackson converting to a wide receiver in the NFL. You know what I mean? This guy worked out. I thought Brendan brought up something really intriguing, and it was the final thing you asked him. He said they need to bring in a coach that can change the way they play offensively, change their identity to adapt around a new Lamar Jackson, which I think is kind of the Lamar Jackson we saw last night. And that's where this goes, because people were saying, is it going to be Harbaugh that stays or is it going to be Lamar Jackson that stays? You have the quarterback. You have to keep the quarterback. You can't go back and try and find a new one. So I think you part with the head coach, modernize things a little bit. And part of that is becoming the Patrick Mahomes, is becoming the Caleb Williams that we're seeing this year, where it's not the guy that is the pure running quarterback. It's the guy that can extend the play when he needs to, and throw the ball on time, throw the ball off schedule, do all of that. And that's what Brendan was talking about at the end there. And I think that's what we saw from Lamar last night. It wasn't, hey, this is the design Lamar Jackson run. This is, hey, we're going to let this guy be an athlete, extend the play, avoid the sack, and create a big play that way. I think that's the next iteration of Lamar Jackson in the Ravens offense. And I don't know if that CEO style head coach is going to work there, because I think in this day and age, you need to marry the offensive mind and the quarterback together. If you have that rotating door at OC with the head or with the quarterback, it makes things more difficult.
I hear everything you're saying, and it's fascinating to me, because I think we've had six firings in the NFL up to date, the Cardinals being the last, with them moving on from Jonathan Gannon. And it's just, there's a lot of smoke just around the Harbaugh Lamar relationship and this topic, as you kind of touched on, of should the Ravens move on for, like, something is happening behind the scenes. There was a report coming out of one of their newspapers out there that maybe those guys aren't seeing eye to eye anymore and all that.
When Harbaugh talks in the media, too, about, you know, the Lamar injuries, there's always sort of this, like, give and take where he says one thing, then he maybe has to go back and say something else to defend his guy after maybe he slighted him. And then Lamar says something where it's like, oh, no, I'm not actually hurt. Or, hey, this is actually what I am dealing with. It's kind of a weird back
and
forth.
They're not on the same page. It just doesn't feel the way. And I'm with you. You have the hardest part of the equation figured out, and that is a franchise quarterback that you can rank in somewhere in the top five, wherever you want to put him. And so, yeah, that's kind of the wait and see mode. I think that would be kind of the biggest surprise, I think, for some people. They move on from Harbaugh because of the body of work that he has built over the now almost couple decades over there in Charm City. TLC, you're the Steelers fan. Happy AFC North Championship Day. This is your day. Is this now a no doubt? Hey, well, Tomlin's now obviously coming back. But if the game didn't go the way it went yesterday, where would you have been on your head coach?
Well, what I don't want to do is basically just say that a Ravens field goal decided whether or not we should fire our head coach, because that's just irresponsible to do. I will say we've been playing really good football. We've looked like a well-coached team. We look tough and mean, and we obviously have our limitations on the offensive side of the ball. Aaron Rodgers is not 28 anymore, so he's just not going to have that type of offense. But regardless, I think we look really good on special teams. We've been able to find something.
Your special teams coach is great.
Yeah.
Year in and year out. I forget his name, but that dude is legit.
The dude who has, like,
the gum guy.
Eight pieces of double bubble in his mouth.
He's legit.
But Ben Skowronek, who was a Notre Dame guy who I think was either a seventh round pick or possibly undrafted. I think seventh rounder. Malik Harrison's finding a role on special teams. Former Buckeye linebacker. So
former Raven.
Yeah, former Baltimore yeah. Raven. Patrick Queen, by the way, former Baltimore Raven, who's had has a role on the team.
All the ops linking up.
Danny Smith is the special teams that's right. coordinator's name, by
Thank
the way.
Thank you. Thank you.
We couldn't remember the name Danny Smith. That's like the most basic name you could come up with besides John Smith. But we look like a well-coached team. And that's it's you kind of got to like really follow it. And that's actually what I felt about Stefanski was despite all the limitations. And look, man, if you have all the talent in the world, like you should win. But what do you do when you have limitations? And I think actually the Steelers, it's funny, the comparison between the Steelers and the Browns. I know we're talking about Steelers versus Ravens, but the Steelers and the Browns, I think, profile kind of similarly a little bit in the sense that they were better defensively than offensively. But Stefanski with me, the Browns looked really disorganized. Even on the field, their operation, their game clocks up, they're taking time. The Steelers had issues with that, but that was because of a helmet issue with the communication with the play. But the Steelers look like an organized football team. So
not when Aaron Rodgers is taking needless timeouts, though.
Yes. So if we can get the helmet communication fixed, that'd be great. But last I ended the season feeling pretty positive.
Yeah.
These last handful. Throwing away the Browns game was just weird. I don't know why we did that. I don't know what happened. They obviously have a tremendous defense, so we were limited there. But man, I really did end this season feeling optimistic. So just viewing this season individually, because I don't want to go through the whole 15-year history, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the playoff issues and stuff like that. But this year, I felt like we about maxed out. We looked well coached. We played tough. We tackled well. We had good special teams. We looked like we did the little things. And I attribute
coaching.
I attribute a lot of that to coaching.
Yeah.
And so we'll work on the talent later. That's a GM issue, but I think Tomlin really did a good job this year.
I'm with you, man. And that's kind of the difference in where I'm at with Harbaugh is that when I look at his body of work, I'm here for Super Bowl, consistent year in and year out, cannot, you know, scoff at that whatsoever. But he's had the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Tomlin has not over the last few years. And I happen to think that a lot of these fourth quarter leads that I've seen vanish would not be that way if Mike Tomlin was running the show. That's the difference between the two for me right now. And so that's why I am okay if they want to part ways with Harbaugh at this point, is because some of those things and how the team hasn't been able to finish when you've had these, not only just the quarterback, but the rosters that he's had over the last few years with the acquisition of, you know, a Derrick Henry and bringing him in and his Hall of Fame career and what he's been able to do. There's been too many of those head scratching losses, not even really just in the postseason, but also in the regular season as well. And so it's just, you know, somebody was asking me how, and I was like, obviously I feel crappy about, you know, the what happened yesterday, but it's just all about expectation for you as a fan, right? Because some people would always say to me, like Browns fans have always said, Matty, I would just kill to be a Ravens fan and be where you guys are year in and year out. But I also say what comes along with that is a standard that's hard to get over year in and year out. But it's the heartbreak, too. You can experience heartbreak in two different ways. It can be your team is just sucky the entire year, or like my team, a couple years ago, you host an AFC championship game. You hold the Chiefs to 17 points. You don't win that game. Last year in Buffalo, two-point conversion right in the breadbasket for Mark Andrews. He drops it, right? Your season's over. Then yesterday, a rookie kicker can't make a field goal, and your season is over as well. And so I'm very, very scared for my team if they fire Harbaugh, because it's one of those things, like I've always said about Tomlin, be careful of getting rid of somebody that has been consistent. But it also does feel like there needs to be a new jolt of energy in that franchise, and I would understand if they did it.
Well, and that's why these franchises are kind of dealing with similar things, right? Hey, we have been consistent for so long, but it's also, I think we need something else to get over the hump and take the next step, but it's scary to do that because we might be leaving all that consistency in the rearview mirror. But what you said, and I think TLC made an excellent point in saying, the Steelers are a well-coached team. That's why they've been able to squeeze the most out of themselves this season. We didn't see as much of that from the Ravens this year. Maybe that is the beginning of, okay, we need to make a change.
For sure.
Here.
And that's what I've been saying. You drop a good quarterback into Pittsburgh, that gets scary because we've seen what he can do in the past, right? I don't even know if he needs a Hall of Fame talent like Big Ben was, but their floor has just been really low at that position. You raise that up, and I think Mike Tomlin will continue to cook. Coming up in pre-snap reads, You will hear from Andrew Berry on the decision to get rid of Kevin Stefanski and the quarterback position as well. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
What's the point of watching football all weekend if you can't overanalyze it?
Reaction Monday is sponsored by The Roofing Guys.
The Fan.
Man, it's the new...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose, so you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, or player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet just $5. It's the only betting app I use. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In-app only.
Hardest day, the day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one. To learn more and get help on any day, visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Hey, it's Anthony Rothman.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose, so you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, or player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet just $5. It's the only betting app I use. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In-app only.
If only there was a radio show that constantly talked about Ohio State athletics. Well, good news. It's real, baby. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
Proud to be your flagship home of the Buckeyes. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Mostly sunny skies for us today to kick off the week, with daytime highs getting up into the mid to upper 40s. For tonight, a little bit milder with lows right around freezing and mostly cloudy skies. And then for Tuesday, chances of rain are back into the forecast. Otherwise, skies will be cloudy and mild with breezy winds and highs in the low 50s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Bet365, the official online sports book of Rothman and Ice. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Rothman and Ice present... Snap Reads.
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. Call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF. That's 614-NEW-ROOF. Or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
All right, welcome back in. Before we get into some pre-snap reads, you're going to hear from Andrew Berry just here in a moment. Let me talk to you about the wonderful folks at Bet365, because they got a great deal waiting for new customers right now, where all you're going to have to do is bet $5. Soon after that, you're getting $150 in bonus bets, whether you win or lose. So you could take that $150 and turn it into something bigger and better when you bet on spreads, totals, money lines, or player props. A fun one over at the Shot tonight. Buckeye Hoops welcoming in number 10. I think 10th ranked Nebraska after the latest poll came out. I saw 13th, I think, last night, but I think today that has now gone to 10th. So that can be a fun one. And I was talking to our guy Rhyme Time about the line. Tip at 6:30. Ohio State favored by 2.5 right now against Nebraska. And so top 15 matchup for the old Scarlet and Gray. That should be a fun one over there. I'm looking to the NBA tonight. And I mentioned Jaylen Brown earlier. I put him in party like a rock star. Dude is lights out right now. Last five games, DT 30, 37, 23, 29, and a 50 piece. I'm going plus 190 on the juice for him to get the 35 points tonight against the Bulls. Plus 190. How you feeling about that? 35 or more.
I'll roll with you.
Yeah, come on.
I mean, you're seeing it right now with Jaylen Brown, so let's do it.
Roll with me. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary. At Bet365, if you have a gambling problem, folks, call 1-800-GAMBLER, 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In-app only.
And may the odds be ever in your favor.
Ice, can you name all four NBA players currently averaging 30-plus?
Okay, Luka.
That's one.
Jaylen Brown.
That's number four.
Anthony Edwards.
No. Strike one.
Averaging 30 right now. Shea.
Number two. Number three is someone who has been a good player, but has turned himself into a great player.
Been a good player, turned himself into a great player. Jokic isn't on that, right?
Correct.
Good player that's turned himself into a...
Is he in the West or the
great
East?
Great player.
East.
Okay.
Eastern. Cade Cunningham.
No, he was drafted 21st overall. It's as we have Cade. Two strikes.
Not Cade.
Jalen Brunson?
That's a good call. I like that. Is it JB?
Tyrese Maxey.
Oh, okay. So, Jaylen Brown. Wait a minute. I think I know who this one is.
Luka, Shea, Maxey, Jaylen Brown. Those are the four.
Hold on.
Brunson's averaging 29.3. Close.
No, we've already gone through the four.
We got... Oh, that. Where's Donovan Mitchell at?
Number five. But he's 29 point something.
Okay. Donovan Mitchell. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. The whole experiment over there, man, with Tyrese Maxey has been incredible. Man.
Well, I will say, of the eight that were named, those were the top eight.
Okay. So we were cool. In the ballpark.
All right.
We were in the ballpark.
Close enough.
Let's go up to Cleveland,
not
fellas.
Not terrible guess.
Yeah, exactly. Usually happens for me. I'm sure you know by now.
What usually happens for you? You and AR nail every trivia question I get you.
We are pretty good with... I'm just bad at overall trivia. Like, do not take me to trivia night with you at all. Like, I'll just let you down. If it's not really sports related, if it's like movie related, you know I'm failing that.
I was upset with you one time because I said, who was the last Reds player to hit four home runs in a game? And then you didn't get it. And I said, Scooter Gennett. And you said, who's that? I was disappointed in you when you did that.
It's fair.
Was Derek Dietrich also a Red? Did he hit four in a game? Or did
I don't
he
know
three
if he hit four
that one time?
Time. Derek Dietrich was great for that one year the Reds wore alternate uniforms all the time. They had like the sleeveless day.
Yeah.
Derek Dietrich was in the dugout like curling the bar.
He had three in a game that year, I think.
By the way, they should have fined us as a franchise for wearing those unis. That can't happen.
Sleeveless jerseys? Yeah,
them? No. In baseball? Nah. I'm not into that.
Yeah, absolutely not.
I think they had like 15 different alternate jerseys that year.
Not in baseball.
And then one of them was like some old like 1800s sleeveless with stirrups.
Absolutely crazy. Hey, I'm sure a lot of you know by now.
They should find us.
The Browns have moved on from Kevin Stefanski. So not really surprising news. We found out this morning that they're moving on from Kevin and they're keeping Andrew Berry. Speaking of Andrew Berry, he spoke to the media throughout our show. We've got some sound for you right here. Here he is on the firing of Stefanski.
Today's obviously a tough day for the organization. It's a tough day for me personally, largely because of the relationship, both professional and personal, built with Kevin over the past 6 years. I think many of you have heard me say that Kevin's like family. There really isn't a better person. He's the best of us. We all owe him a debt of gratitude and appreciation for a level of success that he brought the organization that really hadn't been achieved since 2002. And that's something that we'll always remember.
So there you go. Some nice things said about the man, giving him his flowers on his way out. Here's kind of what I want to hear, DT. And here he is on the plan for the quarterback position.
Quarterback is the most important position in sports. We all know that. And part of the equation with quarterback is the evaluation part. Part of it is the development part as well. It's the most important part. It's the hardest position to play. It can take time, but look, that's the focus, solidifying that position. That's the biggest thing that can lead to sustainable success. That's priority number one. How we accomplish that with the combination of internal options, external veteran options, the draft, that remains to be seen. But priority number one is finding the leader for the organization. That's what our focus is on in the short term.
My early feel on this, Dylan, is that it's still going to be a little messy next year. No matter what they do to reset this thing, whether it's adding a vet, as he mentioned, kind of door number two, or going about it door number three via the draft, you add another young guy to this. Do you have enough of an evaluation, as he touched on Shador and Dylan Gabriel, to truly know what they are? Both got decent runway to kind of showcase their skill set a little bit, but I think some of the flashes that you got from Shador, I can understand why you could talk yourself into, hey, better offensive line, play more weapons. Guy's got a pretty good arm, but some of the decision-making from him, he looked like a rookie, right? Until you just have to bet on whether or not he's going to clean that up. But then there is just the OG in the room of Deshaun Watson just lurking in the weeds. And so no matter who the head coach is, if ownership has a say, which they usually do because they're cutting the checks, and whether they like one of those three guys or two of the three or maybe even all three, That's a complicated situation for the next head coach of the Cleveland Browns to walk into.
And that's kind of what we talked about right off the top today, was that I think it's a relatively good situation roster-wise and draft pick-wise, but whoever you hire is going to have to like what they have in the quarterback room and have a plan for what they have in the quarterback room already. And so many of these head coaches, they're going to want their own guy or their own guys, right? I think in this situation, because they already have Watson under contract and because they just had a rookie starting quarterback in Shedeur Sanders, you're probably going to have to go into that situation with a plan for what's already there. On top of that, we had already talked about the ownership situation there and kind of the dynamic behind the scenes. Of course it's going to be messy in Cleveland. It always is messy in Cleveland. But if you hire the right guy, he can help to stabilize things and come in with that plan. And, man, if that plan works out, Browns fans are going to be very, very happy, and that's going to be a popular man.
Looking at the list of, we'll call it, veteran free agent options that are going to be free agents at the quarterback position, you're not messing around with the whole Daniel Jones thing with him coming off an Achilles. You're not touching that. You're not going to touch Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson, I don't believe. And then it's Marcus Mariota, Zach Wilson, Tyrod Taylor, Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, Jimmy G. Like, that's the free agent market right now. That's what it could look like here in the next few months. And so I don't think any of those guys are the option. Maybe you could talk yourself into, like some of the things we saw from Mac Jones in San Francisco, where he had to hold it down for Brock Purdy. I know there's a little bit of a spark around the name of Malik Willis at the time right now, based off of very small sample size, but him stepping up when Jordan Love's gone down in Green Bay. And so none of this is going to be easy to figure out, but like Andrew Berry said in the clip, it's just so important for them to figure out, because when you do figure it out, there's usually a decent amount of success that follows right after that. Coming up in 2 minutes, our guy Jeremy Birmingham right here on The Fan, On Three, does an awesome job covering all things Ohio State. We'll talk to him about the activity that's happening around the portal right now, his thoughts on the season and what's ahead going into spring ball in the next few months. It's Rothman and Ice.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In app only.
Who adopted teens to share their journey.
Nathan has taught me to embrace the moment. Age-wise, I mean, I'm in my late 60s. I'm old enough to be his grandfather. Will he be embarrassed to acknowledge me as his dad? I think the most important thing we can do is let them know that they're safe, that they're valued and cared for and loved, and that they're important.
I knew I wanted to be adopted by him because of how he taught me to be the person who I am today. And it's coming from a dad that didn't expect to become a dad. And I feel very proud to be his son.
That was what he needed. And he was what I needed. Every day is full of new opportunities. That's what it's been about. Realizing the simple things that it takes to make such a huge difference in these kids' lives.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Your child's oral health milestones matter. By age one, see a pediatric dentist to establish good oral health habits. At seven, see an orthodontist to check your child's bite, teeth, and jaws. Around 15, visit an oral and maxillofacial surgeon to have your child's wisdom teeth examined. Remember, milestones met, healthy teeth set. Visit milestonesmet.org.
Rossman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door Showroom on Gemini Parkway. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
A perfect afternoon parlay. This is Rossman and Ice.
That it is. Welcome back in. Dylan Tyer in the house today for our guy AR. Going to light up right now the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline and bring on our guy Jeremy Birmingham right here at the Fan on 3 Letterman Row. Berm, what's up, my man? Happy New Year. How you feeling?
Happy New Year to you guys as well. You know, we're just all living the dream, trying to get one day to the next around here. College football season, and it does not end. It only gets worse.
No doubt, man. It's just absolutely crazy out here. When you look at some of the guys that have entered the portal from Ohio State side trying to go elsewhere, who's really the headliner for you right now as a guy that was, or a guy that you think they're really going to miss?
I mean, the two that stand out at first blush are both Bryce West and Aaron Scott, two guys that were, you know, are born and raised in Ohio, Ohio high school prospects who bided their time. They waited 2 years, and both of them were in line to be starters for the Buckeyes next year if they wanted to, you know, stick around and go through spring ball. And Aaron Scott is a guy that was certainly in a position to rotate in with Devin Sanchez and Jermaine Matthews and play at least an equal number of snaps, I think. And then Bryce West is a guy that you looked at as the presumptive starter following the departure of Lorenzo Styles. So losing both of those guys is certainly a little bit surprising. Other than that, I don't know that I would consider any of the other more than dozen departures a surprise, because this is just the nature of college football moving forward. You're going to lose a lot of guys that are not guaranteed to be in the two deep every single year. So when you lose guys that are in the two deep and you didn't really know why, that's where you start to feel a little frustrated. But and just as Ohio State's losing those players, the Buckeyes are hoping to take them from other schools.
As you say that, taking some players for other schools, where do you see Ohio State's areas of need right now to fill some talent?
Yeah, I mean, right now, clearly cornerback has emerged as one that has to be answered. Kyan Lee, who's a slot corner from Auburn, who actually was committed to Ohio State for more than a year in his high school days, he's visiting Ohio State today. He's the one that I'd really pay close attention to. They hosted a corner from Maryland on Saturday whose name is escaping me at the moment, so I apologize. There's just a lot of moving parts. So the corner is one spot, and the defensive line is the other. So you're still fighting to try to keep Caden McDonald and Kenyatta Jackson on the roster, but if you don't keep either of those, you're going to need to refill the defensive end spot. You've lost three with C.J. Hicks, Logan George, and Dominic Kirks all entering the transfer portal, so it becomes really incumbent on the defensive side of the ball to add to that spot. I think you would like to add another receiver. DeAndre Moore from Texas is visiting today and arrived on campus last night. He's a big-time guy, potentially. And the Buckeyes have Trey Brown from Old Dominion visiting tomorrow. So those are a couple spots. Obviously, they've already added a tight end from Columbus, Mason Williams, who played at Ohio the last 2 years. So there's not really a single spot on the roster where you could say they couldn't use some help. But the Buckeyes are not really in the business of trying to recruit starters from the transfer portal at this juncture. So, you know, unless it's a guy who is a guaranteed starter, you're going to see some of the bigger names, the quote-unquote bigger names, maybe pass Ohio State by, because the Buckeyes aren't offering the same opportunities that other schools are, because the Buckeyes have a two deep and returning players that they believe in.
You know, Brian, we're talking to Jeremy Birmingham about all things Ohio State right now. A friend of mine, his son is just a diehard Buckeye fan, and he was begging me to ask you, because he knew I was having you on today. Cam Coleman, he's a kid that just loves the wide receiver position. He saw him hit the portal, and his eyes are opening up because he knows Carnell's going to the NFL and all that stuff. But just, can you put that to bed? Is there any chance of that happening? What's your understanding of that?
Yeah, I mean, once Chris Henry Jr. decided to sign with Ohio State, I think the opportunity for the Buckeyes to go sign a player like Cam Coleman or Nick Marsh, who picked Indiana on Sunday, that sort of went out the window. Coleman is going to get, you know, multiple $3-5 million this season from someone. And unless Ohio State fans want to be okay with not paying Jeremiah Smith, then they're going to have to be satisfied with Jeremiah Smith and Brandon Innes and Quincy Porter and Chris Henry Jr. and the rest of the guys on the current roster, because they're going to look to supplement someone in the transfer portal, but it's not going to be able to be a guy that's going to demand that sort of money.
Berm, what do you think that Mylon Graham loss means to that wide receiver room? I know his name came up. He was somebody that guys were excited about, maybe potentially going into this season as somebody who could flash. Didn't really happen. So what does his loss mean?
I mean, you never want to lose five-star prospects that you believed in and invested in as a program for the last 2 years, but we saw it this year even when Ohio State was down Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate. It was actually walk-on David Adolph who was in the game over a guy like Mylon. So clearly the development track is not done for him, but it was a little slower than anticipated. And I think he's just a guy that maybe will capitalize on a fresh start somewhere else. And we don't know where he's going to end up, but I'm sure Indiana is a team that's going to be involved or pushing. And we'll see if Brian Hartline at South Florida makes a move, since they added CJ Hicks today to their class. So we'll see. But it's one of those unfortunate realities of the sport anymore, where you're not going to get 3-4 years to develop a player that has that sort of potential. If he's not on the field in year two, the odds of him being on your team in year three are very low.
What's your feel on the offensive coordinator spot, and maybe where Coach Day would want to go with that? And are there any names floating around that you think would be a good hire?
I'll tell you, it is one of the more tightly kept secrets in the Ohio State football world right now. I don't think that Ryan Day has made a decision on which direction he wants to go, and I think that's probably going to upset some folks, because the way the season ended, there's an argument to be made that there's no reason Ohio State should consider promoting from within. But the Buckeyes really like Keenan Bailey and Billy Fessler and Tyler Bowen and Carlos Lachlan. And with the addition of Cortez Hankton on Friday, there is no spot on the staff open. So if you're going to hire a full-time outside offensive coordinator, a guy that you're going to count on as a recruiting guy and everything else, one of these other coaches has to leave. And so there's going to have to be some discussions about the proper alignment for Ohio State. We are living in a world where you can have as many coaches as you want, so nothing stops the Buckeyes from hiring an offensive coordinator that doesn't have to recruit. He can just be a behind-the-scenes coordinator who's just a mad scientist. So that's a possibility. With the NFL season ending yesterday, there's going to be a ton of names out there. Ryan Day, I think, has been waiting to have these opportunities to really go through every possible outcome. And there's no hurry, because right now the Buckeyes have the proper number of coaches on staff. So they need to figure out the alignment and exactly what that means monetarily, what type of options they have from the school as far as the salary pool goes, because if they're going to want to keep Matt Patricia on this staff, they might need to increase some money his way too. So there's a lot of moving parts, and Ryan Day certainly has a lot of things to figure out.
With that in mind, what do you think this offense looks like next season? I think so much is being made of, you know, the pace that Ohio State played with in that Miami game, and that's raised some questions. Can this team dial it up? Can this team play faster? What do you think this Buckeye offense looks like? Do they change anything?
I mean, I don't think fundamentally a lot's going to change, because, and this will sound crazy to people, but not a lot fundamentally changed from a year ago. The difference a year ago was that, you know, you could be content with a 10-play, 7-minute drive every other drive, because the next drive you might have a 75-yard touchdown run by Trevion Henderson or Quinshon Judkins. So you lacked some explosiveness in the offense this year, and I think ultimately that was the biggest challenge for Ohio State, not necessarily the pace of play. So that's one of the reasons why the Buckeyes are looking for playmakers in the transfer portal, guys who can maybe be home run hitters, because as good as Bo Jackson was as a freshman, as good as Carnell Tate is, as good as Jeremiah Smith is, this was an offense predicated on deep shots and not necessarily guys creating space and making their own plays. And so they're trying to find different personnel that will fit those needs more so than the idea of completely revamping the offense. Now, that said, I think that there's no doubt Ryan Day understands they're going to need to pick up tempo. They're going to need to be more aggressive at times and be willing to go no huddle and put defenses on their heels a bit. But again, some of that and a lot of that in the minds of the Ohio State coaching staff is predicated on having the right guys in those positions. So that's really the work for this offseason.
You touched on Chris Henry Jr. a few moments ago. Let's talk about the Legend Bay situation, because that seemed like it was a roller coaster ride and seemed like really an unfortunate situation for him. You're all over these situations, Berm. You cover it with the best of them. What exactly was happening, and now is he where he needs to be and happy and all that good stuff?
Yeah, I mean, he's enrolled at Ohio State. He's on campus today. All of the early enrollees arrived this weekend. So Legend is in the building. He's on his way to figuring out how to contribute year one at Ohio State. Sometimes family has different opinions about where they want their child to go, especially when there's 6-7 figures worth of money involved and influence that is gained elsewhere. We have not had an opportunity to sit down and catch up with Legend. We did get a chance to say hello to him last week in Dallas at the Buckeyes practice at Highland High School, but you know, this is where he wanted to be all along, and it's unfortunate that there were some obvious difficulties with the family, but Ohio State felt like they played it the right way. They gave him the freedom to move off of his commitment on signing day, knowing full well that if Legend was able to do what his heart was telling him, he'd end up back in the class, and he's there and on campus and ready to rock and roll. So, you know, going through all the orientation and everything today.
It's good stuff. Berm, as always, we appreciate your time. Hey, before we let you go, let the folks know where they can catch up on everything that you do, man.
Of course, Twitter, X, Berm, B-I-R-M. If you're looking for an Ohio State community to join on the internet, we are over at lettermanrow.com. Myself, Austin Ward, Spencer Holbrook, Mick Walker, and of course, the 97.1, the Fan and 10 TV YouTube channels for the Austin and Berm Show.
You the man, Berm. Appreciate you, man. Well, we'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate you guys. See you.
Berm joined us via the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Yeah, the Legend Bay thing was just insane for a while, man. So it's good to hear that he's here and he's locked in and he can be where he wants to be. But like Berm touched on, when those type of financials are floating around, the adults are probably going to get involved to a certain degree, but it just seemed like to me they got maybe too involved with that situation.
And I'm really hoping it works out for him too, because he's betting on himself when it comes down to it, right? His family is saying, no, we want you to do this and take this from these people. And he's saying, no, I think this is best for me. Right. So I am really hoping that the development plan works out for Legend Bay and he's able to make the most of the opportunity at Ohio State and then, of course, move on to the NFL where the real money is to be made, right?
Absolutely, brother. We'll hit the finish line of the show next with Tell the Truth. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
Big Voice Guy here to remind you that you're listening to The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Okay, thanks. I have three more seconds. Bye-bye.
Come into your... Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose, so you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, or player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet just $5. It's the only betting app I use. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In-app only.
Of how many foster homes I lived in. 20, maybe more. Each time, a new family, a new room, but never a space that felt like mine.
There are more than 100,000 children in foster care waiting to be adopted. The Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption is working to help find them a permanent home.
Now I have my own room and decorated it myself. And just like my family, it's mine to keep.
If you have room in your home or your heart, see how you can help at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In app only.
In the old days when people lived to be 40, you only had one option for listening to your favorite show. But now, ooh, baby, radio, podcast, the Fan app, and YouTube, ooh, just to name a few, live or on demand. You have no excuses. The Fan.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Cosby Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Tell the Truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now, get 50% off all window styles from Window Nation at windownation.com.
All right, TLC. Take us to the crib, big dog. What do you got cooked up today? And tell the truth.
All right, I saw a couple of things with it being Black Monday. Just in general, the day after the NFL season, there's a lot of news, a lot of closing press conferences for the season. I saw a couple of fun ones here. So Chris Olave says that Spencer Rattler deserves a chance to start for another team. He's really happy with Tyler Shuck. He likes him, but he also, on the way out the door this season, wants to make sure that Spencer Rattler is known to be a potentially good quarterback just somewhere else. What do you think?
I mean, listen.
I kind of saw the vision earlier in the year.
I did too, but then it got blurry for me. It got blurry for me just a little bit. I don't know if he's a guy that I would necessarily want to attach myself to as like the lone QB1 going into the offseason. Maybe you bring in a Rattler, maybe draft a guy if you're in position to do that for a certain franchise. I just, man, I I don't think he's a long-term answer. I think he's a viable backup, a good backup in the NFL, but I'm just not seeing it as a every-year type of guy that can consistently do it.
I'm with you guys in that I can kind of see it. Now imagine Spencer Rattler in a situation where he's backing up Brock Purdy or he's backing up J.J. McCarthy.
That's the spot. That's the spot. I think J.J., he's getting some competition coming his way, I believe, this offseason.
Like, you see what I'm saying there? Like,
yeah.
Maybe you marry this guy with a really nice offensive mind and it works out. Because I think you can kind of see some of the tools there. It wasn't a tremendous situation by any means in New Orleans, but Tyler Shuck came in the exact same situation, potentially worse, without some of those weapons that Rattler was working with, and was winning football games, mm-hmm. played good. By the way, I think Tyler Shuck is the real deal. I think he's going to be very good.
The talent is there. The only question coming in was the health.
Yeah.
That was it. I mean, the age, too. Some people got turned off by that. I'm not the biggest kind of age guy when it's like, when they're older, I don't really view it as the biggest negative.
Yeah. If they've played a lot in college, I think it's a good thing.
Because then that could speed up their process in the NFL to success because they have a lot of success and a lot of reps that they racked up at the collegiate level. But you're right, man. There's some things to believe in if you're a Saints fan based off what you saw from Shuck.
But I think as far as it goes with Rattler, if you put him in one of those situations, I would not be surprised to see him get an opportunity. By no means does he have the same pedigree as a guy like Mac Jones that was a first-round pick. But Rattler was a very, very high recruit, didn't have a bad college career by any means, but now he's been given a little bit of an opportunity in probably one of the few situations he would have had that opportunity to play games like he did early in the NFL. But no, I could see him being a quote-unquote reclamation project somewhere, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him succeed a little bit down the road.
Maybe some of these guys end up in Indy. Like, we're talking about Malik
Willis,
another
spot.
Rattler,
yeah.
Mac Jones. Like, maybe some of these guys... My guess is they're going to give Anthony Richardson another crack at this.
Man,
based
I
off
have
of
no
he,
idea.
I just think when you're drafted that high with that skill set, I don't think they're going to completely push him out of the building just yet. But I could see maybe a couple of these guys that we mentioned, maybe
the Rams,
linking up with Shane Steichen. Yeah, I mean, you want to go over there and kind of rehab your quarterback image and skill set. That's not a bad place to be, especially when Stafford may be on his way out. Like, if Stafford wins the MVP and wins Super Bowl this year, I'm going out on that note. I wouldn't be surprised if he retires.
I feel like this is part of how GMs think. I think this way in fantasy. I imagine in reality it works somewhat similar.
I saw Rasul Douglas tweeted out, this is Dolphins safety, Rasul Douglas. He tweeted out, besides losing, I really enjoyed this season. Okay, that's kind of difficult. But I saw...
I likes ball.
Yeah.
Likes his boy.
Aside from all the losing, this season was great. I saw that Tyler Shuck, he says that he's staying in New Orleans this offseason and that he's very excited for Mardi Gras. So good luck to Tyler Shuck.
Yeah, be careful down there.
Uh-huh.
Get those beads.
Yeah, exactly.
Make it rain. What percentage of legitimacy do you give Myles Garrett's sack record?
What percentage?
Yes.
100?
Oh, no. I did not want to hear that.
Okay.
He had less snaps than Michael Strahan in the season that Strahan set the record. I believe Myles Garrett played 155 less snaps than Michael Strahan.
I did see that. TLC is also, he's a Steeler guy.
Yeah,
so he's
going
to go to bat for TJ Watt and doing it, you know, in 15 games.
Or Strahan, either or.
I hate doing this. And I said on Friday, I said, I know we're going to do this on Monday. And I hate this for Miles. You know what I had a bigger issue with? I'm glad you brought this up. Was Zach Taylor and Ja'Marr Chase crying about the game being stopped, for the record? Did you see that after the game?
No, I missed that.
Those guys took issue with that. I said,
Zach Taylor was like, the refs didn't warn me they were going to stop the game for that.
They should have done the Steelers method.
Zach Taylor said, we're playing for our lives. You got to tell me that you're stopping the game.
He said,
we're playing for our lives.
I just, where have these guys been in the history of sports? This is what happens when guys set a record like that. The game stops. Like, the game always stops. I'm not going to take it away from Miles. You can't ignore the extra game and all this. Like, I get that. But his record is the record now. And so that's just the way that I look at it. That's the way that I look at it. TLC, go to bat for your boy.
I think that requiring the 18th game, and by the way, it's not just this. There are a lot of cherry-picked stats. Like, I think I saw something last night about Derrick Henry setting some record for December and January football. That's because he has an extra January game every year now that a bunch of running backs didn't get.
Right.
So it's just, it's talking points for broadcast, and it's really a talking point for broadcast with the sack record because it's all they were interested in talking about. And I thought that broadcasters did a really terrible job calling games the past few weeks leading up to this. But no, you needed 18 games for it, and everyone else needed less than that. I will say this. I was happy to see this. This was a lot better. I'm now going to defend Myles Garrett because I'm always a middle ground type of guy. So I'm going back to the middle ground where I'm going to defend Myles Garrett.
I like you arguing against yourself here.
Oh, I do that a lot.
Awesome. Like the Spider-Man
this
meme.
Is awesome.
It is a hell of a lot more legitimate than Josh Allen taking one snap for the starting streak.
Thank you.
So he can compete with Eli Manning.
Come on, man. What are we doing? At least play a few series if we're going to do it.
He took one snap, got the starting streak, and then sat the rest of the game, and in comes Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah, I'm not here for that. I can't get down
That is fraudulent. Myles Garrett, at least, I mean, he ran off the field after the sack and celebration, but he came back on a few plays later. Like, Myles Garrett still finished the game. Josh Allen took one snap and left the field for the game just so he could get a registered start. That is terrible.
I'm completely with you on that.
I was thinking about that Josh Allen thing before the game. Like, when you're getting dressed, do you still put on all the same stuff? Like, you're like, I got to look good. I'm just going to take one snap.
I guess so. But no, TLC, I am 100% in your camp with that. And I want to say he's done that 2 years in a row now. I think he has done that
that's
2 years
weak.
In a row.
2 years in a row.
I think
that's weak.
Yeah, at least give me a series.
Yeah.
Give me a series. Mm.
You just said F. Scott Fitzgerald. Well, what did Scott Fitzgerald do to you?
It's also National Bird Day. What is the best sports team named after a bird? There are numerous. I will say Falcons is pretty strong. Hawks is pretty strong. Seahawks as well.
I like the Cardinals since there are two of them.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah, it's something about the Seahawks, but I just think the Seahawks have the best uni colors and combos in the league, so I'm partial to anything they do. So I'm going to go Seattle. Give me the Seahawks.
I also like Penguins because it's got the hockey stick. It's a good logo, too.
That is a great logo.
It's a good logo. I'll give it that.
NHL? I like the St. Louis Cardinals look. I think that's a great MLB, classic MLB
look. I think Pelicans is a weak bird
it's
to have
horrible.
This logo.
And the logo is absolutely
it's
awful.
A weak bird.
I always say, DT, I think NHL has the best logos in all of professional sports.
Yeah, they're very, very
incredible.
Solid.
Appreciate you coming in, big dog. TLC, great job on the board today. Hey, before we go, Common Man and Timmy coming up next. No Common Man, Jen in. For Common Man, they will take you up to Buckeye basketball coverage at 5:30. Black Monday reaction, Buckeye transfer portal reaction coming up from 3 to 6. We love you. We'll talk to you tomorrow at high noon. We're Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
If the sound of another man slammed against plexiglass turns you on, you've come to the right place. Proud to be your home for Jackets hockey. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
It's a new year.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. And app only.